This is PFW in progress.
I got a judge that's just aching to throw me in jail. I got no money, a dress code problem, not to mention your biological clock. Is there any more shit we could pile on to the top of the outcome of this case? Is it possible?
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
All right, knock it off. You know, you ragging on me is not going to give me any great spontaneous knowledge.
Paul Perillo.
You just keep on asking about Chinese food. Can't you tell they don't have Chinese restaurants around here? Gotta let everybody know you're a tourist.
And Andy. And Andy?
Everything that guy just says is bullshit. Thank you.
Andy Hart.
Let me see. This is a tough decision you're going to hear. Get my ass kicked to collect $200. What do you think? I could use a good ass kick, and I'll be very honest with you.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
You stick out like a sore thumb around here.
Me? What about you?
I fit in better than you. At least I'm wearing cowboy boots.
Oh, yeah, you blend.
PFW in progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Imagine your idea. You're prancing along, you get thirsty, you spot a little brook, put your little dear lips down to the cool, clear water. Bam! Bullet rips off part of your head. Your brains are laying on the ground in little bloody pieces. Now I ask you, would you give a what kind of pants the son of a who shot you was wearing?
All right, welcome to PFW in progress. I'm here, Fred Kirsch, and the gang will be here momentarily. Of course, they had to wait until lunch was served. Bill Belichick just got done with his press conference up in the press box. And things are going pretty smoothly, I'd say, training camp so far. No major injuries. Young guys are progressing, like Rodney Mayo and Wheatley. What's that? Why do I say Rodney Mayo? You know why? Because I used to have a roommate named Rodney Mayo. That's why. Gerard Mayo. Sorry about that.
And now another great moment.
Another great moment, right. So things are going good. I think if you had to script camp, I don't think, they've deviated from that script so far. I think things are going well, except for the rainouts and the fans are concerned. A lot of times they've had to go indoors. I think this has been an excellent camp so far. Of course, Thursday is the first preseason game against the Ravens. Don't expect to see a lot of work by the would-be starters, but we'll get some really good looks from guys like Mayo, guys like Wheatley. Hopefully there'll be a couple kickoff returns from guys like Slater. And let me tell you something, folks. When I tell you he has wheels and he has a gear that we haven't seen in a long time here when it comes to the return game, I'm not kidding. He is really something to watch. I know I'm probably building him up too much now, and he won't do anything. But we'll see. I mean, I haven't seen this type of acceleration from 0 to 60 since Bethel Johnson. And this guy hits the hole much faster than Johnson did. So I'm excited to see him. Excited to see Welker's back after a rusty start. His first day at camp, dropping some balls. He's back to form last night in the in-stadium season ticket holder only practice. He was beating his man, whoever was covering him, regularly. Even when other guys were dropping balls, Welker was to be counted on every play, just like he was last year. So he's picked up where he left off. Things are looking good. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. Webradio, 508-543-7482 is the phone number. We already have a lot of emails coming in. People have a lot of questions about what the team's going to look like this year. They want to know the inside in camp. Guys will be here any minute now. We've been to every practice so far. We haven't missed one. And so we've got all the insight you need in the next couple hours. A couple programming notes. Well, not really programming notes, but things to look forward to. We're pretty much done with our deal with Comcast Sportsnet. Well, it is done. We're going to be filming the new PFW show. We used to be on Neckin. We'll be on Comcast Sportsnet. This year, every Friday evening, it looks like at 7:30 on Comcast Sportsnet, and they're going to be filming it right from the hall at Patriot Place. So that I'm excited about that, mostly because now I don't have to go to Burlington. But otherwise, it's going to be a great show. Mike Felger is going to be the host, and you know what that means. There'll be some fireworks from time to time.
That 800 number, I forgot it. I'm sorry.
Right. So that we're looking forward to that show. That'll be great. other things to mention before the guys get here. The Patriots mobile site is up and running, patriots.mobi, patriots.mobi. We launched that last Monday. And so if you're on your cell phone, PDA, smartphone, whatever you have, whatever kind of device, this patriots.mobi configures itself to your device so you can get all the Patriots news from patriots.com right on your cell phone anywhere you are. And we'll be adding video and audio to that in about a week or so. So you'll be able to download and watch the latest Patriots Now and other stuff. So we're excited about that. I realize that you have to take the content and put it where the user is. You can't always expect people in this day and age to come to your website. You have to send your content to where they want it. So we're starting to do that with patriots.mobi, M-O-B-I. What else, Gary? Gary's on PFW.
I'm on PFWProgress.com.
I know. How's that site looking?
It looks great.
I want to also remind people the T-shirts are available on PFWInProgress.com. James is nice enough to help us sell them, and proceeds from those T-shirts go to help James maintain and manage the site, PFWInProgress.com. I know there's a lot of activity going on over there. A lot of people on the bulletin board and the forum and people welcoming Mike Parenti. Now, he won't actually be here today. Mike is, even though he was here last week, his first official day with the organization will be this Thursday. So I believe he will be here for the Thursday show. But he's still tying up loose ends with the Woonsocket call. And then his first official day will be this Thursday. He'll be working the game against the Ravens. So you'll probably see his byline in next issue of PFW. And speaking of PFW, that's on the stands. On the bust of Andre Tippett is on the cover. And, of course, we have to send our kudos and congratulations to Andre. He had his big weekend this weekend in Canton.
What did you think of his performance, Fred?
I thought it was excellent. You know, it was. You can tell that he went over this a lot. He practiced it a lot. He came up there. He knew what he was going to say. And, you know, someone asked him, you know, he was so emotional the week leading up. I think he lost it a couple times, you know, getting emotional. You know, how did you keep yourself from crying, you know, when the time came? And he said the way he looked at it was, you know, this is it. This is like going into a game. And, you know, I have one opportunity to get up there and say what I need to say. And, you know, while it's not a bad thing to get emotional, he wanted to be able to make sure that he got his message out the best way he could. So he went up there and said, you know, I'm just going to get through. I'm going to do this and get it out there. And he just basically overcame the emotions to get his message out there. And I think it was a great message. Robert Kraft preceded him. He, of course, introduced Andre. And I think Robert was good. It was, you know, had a nice way of presenting Andre. Mentioned a time where he met Andre before he owned the team and then met him again in a hospital, and Andre took time out while he was in the hospital recouping from his injury to visit one of Mr. Kraft's sons who was in there with a serious knee injury. And that was how he got to know Andre Tippett off the field. So that was nice, and you know, the rest of the day was nice. I wasn't there myself, but I listened to most of it on Sirius Radio driving home from Pennsylvania. And it was a good day, a lot of good acceptance speeches, a lot of good presenting speeches by Sons and Pat Bowlen introducing Zimmerman, Art Monk's son, you know, a lot of good stuff going on there. Everybody, I think, that was inducted this year, more than deserving. Some like Monk and Andre should have been there a little earlier than they actually got in, but it was a great day. And from the people that were there, Eric Scalavino, Donna Spigarolo, and Kyle Pasadu, who worked for us in the alumni relations, they were all there and went to Andre's party afterwards. They said it was just a great time. A lot of Andre's teammates were there to celebrate with him. Ex-employees of the Patriots were there who knew Andre over the years. So it was just a really good time. And credit the Pro Football Hall of Fame. They've really made that event into something that is really special for the player. I mean, when they get there, from the time they get there from like Thursday on, they've got a parade. They've got, you know, the presenting of the jacket. You know, all this kind of stuff. And it really has become a special weekend for the player, worthy of these guys. So just, again, congratulations to Andre. You can get the latest issue with his bust on the cover and a special article written by Eric Scalavino, who was there every step of the way, blogging, writing. Now, here's the food. What? I would have liked to have more macaroni, but that's okay. All right.
You could have mine, Freddie.
It looks good. Looks good. Guys are here. Paul, Andy. What's going on?
The Patriots will not use defensive headset communication on Thursday.
That's the big news coming out of the press conference. And
definitively.
Any surprise?
No. I mean, we all knew that based on what he said yesterday, based on what he said all along. But he just came out and said it definitively. In fact, he said put it in the headlines.
Yeah, you know, and I think it's the right move, obviously.
I'm shocked at that, too.
The idea of headsets in defensive helmets sounds like a good idea. Why not? They do it for the quarterback. Why not? But then when the rule came out last week or when the refs were here and how complicated it has to be, you know, you got to have only one person can be on the field at a time with it. Only two people can be selected. The spare helmet has to be kept in a box. You know, then you couple that with the type of defensive substitutions that a lot of teams do, not just the Patriots. And it becomes something that you really have to start thinking about. And why bother?
Right? Well, let me ask you this question. What's to stop the league from just saying every player gets one in their helmet,
absolutely,
offense and defense?
I don't get it. And I believe it or not, I agree 1,000% with Fred.
I mean, cost prohibitive? It's
a good theory to have the communications to be able to have them on both offense and defense, but it just in practicality, the logistics of it don't work. And Eric's right. Why not just have, or at least, you know, four or five different guys have it?
Right.
What's the big deal?
What is the big deal? I don't understand.
I don't get it either. I'm just wondering if it's a cost thing, the transmitters and having all of them in the helmets and.
It could be. It could be a money thing.
I think they have enough money to do that if they wanted to.
You know. I don't know. I guess it's a control thing. You know, like if everybody's got a receiver and then two of them stop working, what do you do then? You know.
But there's no real backup plan in place now, contingency, if that happens to the quarterback. You don't have to stop using it if one guy is
the other team has to stop.
No, that's only for the sideline to the press box.
Oh, is that
according
right?
to what Bill said earlier this week, maybe
the
over
official.
The weekend.
Mm-hmm. The official said the same thing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They always have to make it so complicated.
I think that they're making something that's kind of simple really hard.
Yeah.
I really do.
So the Patriots will probably do it the same way they've always been doing it.
Well, I also said, Fred, I mean, we talked about the scenarios. Teddy Bruschi, Rodney Harrison, you're teaching, no offense, old dogs new tricks. I mean, there's a chance both those guys aren't here next year or whatever. That might have something to do with it, too. They're just not comfortable. And what's the point of teaching a 14-year veteran something that you don't even really care that much about? You're not all that into. I mean, yeah, maybe starting Mayo with it next year because it's young in his career and he'll have it his whole career.
He might be the better candidate. Just, you know, start him now. You know, maybe you don't want to put it on him right now during his first training camp.
Right.
But, you know, like Andy said, next year, you know, to further your old dog new tricks thing too, Andy, we talked to Fernando Bryant last week. And, I mean, I know he's a cornerback, and sometimes cornerbacks can be a little insulated in what they're doing with the rest of the defense anyway. But he said he wanted no part of having the headsets because doesn't want to deal with any of that. He's used to getting the calls and not giving calls anyway. But he didn't really want any part of that technology. And I would think that he's not alone.
I don't blame him. You know, that's just another thing that you have to think about. You know, you're like you said, you're locked in on a guy. And now you have to start thinking about calling out a play for all your teammates and getting the play from the sideline.
It really only works for those middle linebackers that
right.
play all three downs. And there's just not that many of them. Ray Lewis, Brian Urlacher.
There might be one here soon.
Well, I think you're going to have one here.
Andy
is
in man love with Gerard Mayo.
Yeah. Yes, and the love has grown over the
last year. I'd love to make fun of him.
Before you were here, you would have laughed because I called him Rodney Mayo because I used to have a roommate named Rodney Mayo. So
I've called him O.J. Mayo. So.
Yeah.
But soon, people won't be making mistakes with his name for very long because I'm fully on board.
That's for sure.
I can't remember a guy that we were this universally in agreement about. know, this quickly. I'm not talking about like Tom Brady. I mean, this, you know, some rookie that came in, and the three of us have been really impressed.
Yeah. I mean, we've had Asante Samuel, Eugene Wilson. We liked those guys.
You know?
But Deion Branch we liked. But I'm on board with, and we were just sort of joking, but you know how Bill said, Brian Urlacher or Ray Lewis, it works to have them. I think Mayo's going to be one of those guys. All three downs, he rushed the passer, cover,
he is going to
stuff
be.
The run. Last night he made another play that you know you thought he could make, and he did. They ran a screen to Kevin Falk, sniffed it out, shot in behind the offensive lineman. As Fred said, he may have gotten called for a horse collar if it had been a real game, but reached out and grabbed Falk, would have made the play for virtually no gain or a short
gain.
The
thing is, he got there.
Right. Just the total package, and we can't necessarily see whether everything they say about his football intelligence and his film study is true, but I'm going to take everybody at their word and say that it is. But what we can see is size, speed, quickness, reaction, all that playmaking ability.
The first play he made, because remember, he missed that.
And a little bit of meanness.
Oh, he definitely has a mean streak.
But that first actual practice on day one of camp, he still had to dot the I's and cross the T's on his contract so he didn't show up. But in the afternoon, when he came out, the first play that he made was just like what Andy described. He shot into the backfield on what looked like a screen.
Over to the side.
Over to the side.
It was on to our, you know, looking out from the media tent, it was to our right.
Right, exactly.
And he got there in a blink. And Eric and I just looked at each other and was like, wow. I mean, when was the last time we saw a linebacker? And I don't mean that disrespectfully. I mean, I mean it to praise the guy that's making the plays now. When was the last time we saw a linebacker just shooting around? Fred, remember last year you used to really talk about the Indianapolis Colts defense was the greatest defense you ever saw. You know, it was the fastest, you know. That's the way that those guys, you know, Bob Sanders. He looked like Bob Sanders. He's a bigger Bob Sanders.
In my era, this team's never had a player with his skills, his combination
of
skills.
No, that's what I'm saying. When was the last time we had a linebacker like that
that was
capable of darting from sideline
to
sideline?
Moyer, but didn't pan out to be that guy. Other than that, they've had, you can say Vrabel's an all-pro, but not the combination of skills.
Different kind of player,
Thomas,
too.
I would say, maybe has the similar combination of skills, but in terms of young players, he's unique.
I'm very excited about this guy.
So with the emergence of Mayo, should we be talking less about this whole Tank Williams playing linebacker?
Yeah,
I think Tank Williams is going to be a sub-package guy.
And he has
and
been over the last 2 days.
I think he could be a valuable one. I like
last
him,
night
by
he
the
was
way.
All over the field, and it was a sub-type role.
I wish I had seen some of that because that's where, you know, and I told you that I had talked to someone before camp even started who kind of indicated that's what they liked him for. I've been fairly impressed with Tank Williams, too, in this camp. I just don't think, and I agree with Andy on this, I don't think that he's going to be able to stand up on first and second down or in short yard, you know, in a true run-stopping manner. I don't think that he's going to be able to stand up.
Last night they used him. Merriweather and Spahn were out there. He was out there. It was they did some diamond nickel stuff. One play he was 15, 20 yards downfield as a true safety. The next play he was up in the slot. Then he was blitzing off the edge. He was moving around. But I think the experiment of him being any type of first team every down linebacker has sort of come to an end.
All right. Well, on the phone right now is John in L.A. John, I didn't forget you this time.
How's it going, you guys?
Good.
Hey,
good.
John. What's up, John?
I want to call and say I've only listened to half of the podcast with Parenti, but he's great. I think he fits right in.
Well, I think most people are going to agree with you there on that, John. He's
certainly... Having said that, I don't think Eric should leave, seriously. I mean, he can go on your rookie show, but I think he should be on. I think he's, like, I don't know, but I don't think he's funny, but I think it's funny to have him
on
the show.
I'm here, John. I'm here. I can hear you.
John, how much did Eric pay you? How much did Eric pay you to say that?
He did not
pay me
anything.
What, that he wasn't funny?
Well, Eric thinks that he's way smarter than he is. Which is always amazing.
I agree.
Ain't no doubt about that.
But that's part of his charm.
Anyway,
charm?
I really
not that
think
charming.
He should stay. I really do.
Thank you, John.
He should do both.
Mm-mm.
What if you have him do a couple
of
shows?
I don't have time to kill 4 hours in the afternoon.
No. Not both in the same day.
Maybe
one on one day and the other on another day.
Nah.
Gary, give me no.
Gary, be like, no.
Say nah, and then just be on Rook's show then.
Yeah, that's true. Your options are full-time Rook or part-time Rook.
The groundswell is spoken.
I think the Rook show is going to be fine with Eric. You know, it's Eric has a chance to really forge his own trail, be his own person.
I mean, just look what he's done in this in the past week, Fred. If they talk about blossoming.
If they want to have like one show a week from wine tastings from the new tastings store that's opening up at Patriot Place, they can do that.
We're getting one of those?
Yeah, yeah, it's going to be really nice.
I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
Is that one of the ones you had something
Route
to do
one
with?
Route 1 Foxborough.
I had nothing to do with that. No, it's called Tastings.
Patriot-Place.
Look it up on the internet.
So it's just wine or some cheese as well?
No, you can't just have alcohol only in Massachusetts. You have to have food. So they will have food, but it's mostly a...
You can't just have alcohol in any facility?
Nope.
Well, what facility would you just have alcohol?
A bar. They used to just have bars.
Really?
Yep.
I never saw one.
Kind of thought they still did.
But now the bars have to serve like wings or some other sort of French fries.
I never saw a bar that didn't have bar food.
Oh, back in my day.
Please talk into the mic. Oh.
Back in my day, you know, you used to have that corner bar and that's all they had was booze.
Never saw one.
I mean, they might have a ton of corner bars,
but they all have food.
Yeah, because that's the law now. Huh. You have to have that.
You learn something
everywhere or just in Massachusetts?
I think it's a state thing.
Yeah. State by state, you mean?
Yeah.
It's different?
Yep. Yep. So anyway... So tastings will be so. If you want to do a show from there, you and John, you know, I think
he ain't buying.
You have a lot of flexibility here. You're pigeonholed, Eric. You're in a corner. You have these guys.
Eric home used to get pigeonholed in college.
Oh,
see now,
he dabbled. He dabbled.
Pulled an Andy Hart right there, John. You laughed at your own joke.
It was funny.
It was pretty funny, Eric.
Thanks,
Can I get an update on Webster and Will Height and Wheatley?
Webster hasn't
Webster
practiced
hurt,
in a week
mean,
and a half.
What's that?
Webster hasn't practiced in a week and a half. Wheatley has been with the first group for most of camp and been
pretty good.
Been impressive. He's fit right in. When Webster went down, he's been in the first group ever since, every day. He's been pretty impressive. Will Height. Not as impressive as Wheatley, but showing up.
Better than advertised.
He's looked okay, been around the ball, but Andy said he got hurt last night.
Looked like he tweaked a hammy.
So,
but then he finished up the sprints last night.
But as he was walking back, it started to loosen up for him. I noticed. Yeah.
But, I mean, a hamstring.
If it was a hamstring.
I would say that he is Will Height has been reasonably impressive. Not like Wheatley, but, you know, I would say ahead of, say, a Mike Richardson.
Oh, yeah.
He's been getting reps ahead of him.
I'm ahead of Mike Richardson.
Well, I don't know. A lot of guys had Mike Richardson as a guy who could make the team.
He had a great camp last year before he got hurt.
That's what a lot of people said, but I didn't see it last year either, so I'm probably not the best judge. Who else?
I don't know. Well, Webster was running with the ones at the same time that Tank Williams was running with the ones at linebacker, so could it be that?
Well, no, it was one day. It was like one or 2 days.
Webster?
Yeah.
Webster was with the ones a lot.
It was only like 2 days. He's been gone since like the second day of camp.
Oh, I don't think it was that long.
Oh, then our paper is effed up.
So, like, say Webster was healthy.
Again.
Do you think that at this point, after, you know, 3 or 4 practices, they'd start to move Wheatley into that spot anyway?
Yes. I think Wheatley is destined to be a starter.
I thought Webster was, I guess I stand in the minority. I thought Webster was playing well until he got hurt.
He was okay, but I think Wheatley
is what he is.
I think Wheatley has done what.
But maybe he is a starting cornerback who always gets hurt. So if that's who he is, then that's what happened.
And I think, you know, Wheatley may not have shown the sort of progress that Mayo has so quickly, but he's shown enough that I think he would have overtaken Webster eventually.
He's got skills. You can see his raw skills.
He does. He does have skills.
All right, John. Thanks for calling
in. Thanks a lot.
John in L.A. Now, Minnie Gary was at the... In stadium practice last night, and he was a part of a 3-man team operating those little slingshots that shoot the t-shirts.
Minnie Gary
is
usually part of a 3-man team, in case you didn't know that, Fred.
But they couldn't even get that right.
Well, that balloon just flew over.
I mean, after one shot, they broke the slingshot. Then I see him like throwing them into the stands
and barely reaching. They're like landing in the first row. He's throwing these high fly balls like a girl.
He has toothpick arms. What do you expect?
And legs.
Did someone throw the t-shirt back at you? Did I see that? No?
If you're going to sit here and sit
you
in
always
want to
talk, and now you're just shaking your head.
Jesus. When do I always want to talk?
You sit in front of that microphone every week.
It's a table to eat my food at.
With
headphones on?
I can listen to the show.
Just as a point of clarification, Andy is correct. It was the 27th that Webster missed his first practice, so he only practiced 3 days.
Yeah, right again.
So the paper was right as well. Good for us.
Okay.
Did I hear you talking about Andre Tippett?
Yeah,
earlier
I was
when we
just throwing out congratulations for his weekend.
We crossed paths with him this morning, and good stuff still.
Did you mention what I got him?
No mention at all, actually. I was actually wondering if you had given it to him yet.
I did.
You
left it at his door.
You didn't put from PFW on it?
No. Just this is from me.
Did he
a subscription?
Thanks, Fred.
Did he reach out to you at all to say thanks or anything?
No.
Was it the money you had in your wallet?
No, you actually went out and got
something. No, I bought him this really nice humidor with some cigars in it.
Good cigars?
I hope so. I took the guy's word for it. So, I probably have.
Did you tell him who they were for?
What do you mean who they were for?
Did you tell the guy at the store who you were for?
Oh, yeah, I did. I did tell him.
Yeah, don't screw this up. Don't screw me over.
I mean, looking at him, I was like, was that not clear?
I did tell the guy, and the guy goes, so he probably wants a big stick in his hand. That's what he said.
Is that cigar talk?
Yeah.
Big stick? Yeah. Gary, you smoke cigars once in a while, don't you? No?
You chew all that crap, but you don't smoke cigars? Cigars are better for you than
I kind of wish I smoked cigars.
You can so smoke them.
I'm going to take it up. I don't know how.
I don't either.
What do you mean
you don't know how?
I've never smoked one.
Then that's one.
Well, you don't inhale it. You just kind of let the smoke.
I just assume I would get sick.
Swirl around in your mouth.
I kind of assume I would, too.
You don't get sick.
I'm scared.
You might get a little dizzy.
Well,
Eric, now you look like a cigar smoker.
He
looks like a something else smoker, too.
See, now, you know, there's no reason for that.
You know exactly where he wanted that to go when
he
said it.
Of course.
So put that in your pipe and smoke it.
No, seriously.
No, I'm actually allergic to cigarette and cigar smoke.
You're allergic to it?
Yeah.
Really?
I tried once a cigar, and it was awful. But
did you light your nose on fire when you're trying to light the cigar?
Wow. See now.
After he opened up on the last show and explained how one of the things that he was thinking about was getting a nose job.
Don't worry about it. You don't need to do that. See what happens? On the Panthers, guy gets a nose job and Steve Smith breaks his nose. Now he has to get another one.
So does that mean if I go with Andy's going to punch me out? And
I have never hit anyone.
It's Murphy's Law. You get a nose job, you're going to break it. Just leave it the way it is. You're fine.
I thought you punched Manny Gary last week.
Oh, well, yeah, but I mean like in the face and like anger. That's just a little playful banter.
Not even in the schoolyard when you were
a kid? Oh, yeah, back then. I mean as like an adult, a mature human being.
All right, so
you're not there yet.
Neither is Steve Smith, apparently.
So we have practice today at 2:30.
Yep.
Open to the public.
That's correct.
And that really is the last public practice until August 11th.
Monday.
That's right.
Yes.
Everything else is closed or no practice.
Or a game.
No more practices between now and then.
Right.
Yeah.
They're not closed. They're just not practicing.
Well, there's probably a walkthrough tomorrow.
They might come on Sunday or something like that.
According to the schedule, no. But I guess that you could be right.
They could.
They could just have something that's closed.
Yeah. A walkthrough tomorrow?
I don't think they can have practice and close it to the media at this time of year.
Oh, is that right?
So I don't think they're practicing at all.
Okay. So a little time off for the guys to recoup. What do you think you'll see in this game coming up on Thursday? You think it'll be any different than any first preseason game? Or
A lot more Matt Cassel, Gutierrez, and O'Connell. I would be surprised if we saw any Brady in the first game.
I think Eric's right.
At all?
At all, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, I think Eric's right. And I would have to go back and look for sure, but I think that Brady's probably made cameos in the first game for the most part. There might be a game that he didn't play at all in, for a preseason opener. But I think given the nature of the three backups, I think Bill needs to see as much as he can of those guys in game action. Because if he's going to let go of one of the, either Cassel or Gutierrez, I think he needs to know as much information as he can before he does it. Or if he's going to try to figure out a way to keep O'Connell without having him be on the active roster, he needs to find out how he's going
to
do that.
He needs to get all three of them in there so one can get hurt and go on IR.
Well, that's not – I know you're making a joke, but that's not – really, it's a lot harder to sell it that O'Connell's going on IR if he hadn't taken any snaps in games.
Right.
It's a little easier.
He can get hurt any time.
I know, but
he can get
sacked in a game and make it look a lot easier. And I'm not suggesting that they do that, but let's be realistic about it. Every team does.
And they should. It's smart business.
Absolutely.
Fred, you need to talk about Matt Cassel, though.
I need to talk about.
Well, what did you think last night? You and Andy were there last night.
You were soured on Matt Cassel last night.
I'm very, very disappointed in Matt Cassel, not just from last night, but it's a growing trend. I mean, it's at least one pick per day. Plus, I think the lower half of his body is not proportioned right to the upper half of his body.
He brought the magic. That's what we talked about last night.
I think his legs
picks
are a little too short.
Misshapen
body. I know from experience.
Is he done?
I think Bill phrased it perfectly today. He said, it's always different when you're in the game. I think that's the opening for Matt Cassel. Let's see how you do in a game, because if he continues the way he's in he's done.
I think he's done.
What Bill is hoping for or waiting for is to see that next level when it comes to, you know, even a preseason game. Otherwise,
but
this is it.
To this point in camp, Cassel has pretty much been the steady number two guy.
Well,
getting
no question.
Right, because the other two haven't done anything to usurp that position. I mean, he went into camp as the mm-hmm. you know,
the default
quote,
number
unquote,
two
veteran quarterback right. in the group. Those guys haven't done anything to
well, that's
kick
why
him out yet.
But that's why I don't think he's done. Not necessarily for anything that he's done overly positive. I agree with Andy. I think he's been kind of what we've seen the last camp or so, yeah. the last two camps. But I haven't seen anything out of the other guys that says, "Well, we got these guys are on the fast track.
Paul,
we got to make room."
But I agree with you. But isn't that alone tells you that he's done? Because
but not really, because Rohan Davey played the same game. We
listen,
thought he was done for 2 years
hear
before he
out.
Was done.
Hear me out. What you said is, you know, we haven't seen anything different than we've seen the other training camps, and that's the problem. They're looking for a little bit of progress, a little bit of improvement, and we're not seeing
it. But do you remember Rohan Davey? It was the same thing.
You're misunderstanding me.
This guy is flattened out. Let's go with the
other guy. Rohan Davey made the same mistakes forever, and we thought he was done. And we remember, like, it even got into the season, and fans are saying, how is Rohan Davey still on the team? And we say, well, we don't watch season practices, but from what we saw in camp, we don't have an answer for that. We would have cut him. We didn't know why he was still here. We thought he'd plateaued, didn't have the skills, and he was here longer than what we thought he should have been.
No, I mean, no doubt.
It's the same exact thing.
No doubt. It's a very similar situation. And
now he's a backup in the Arena League.
My point, Fred, is that you don't just get rid of the guy because you just say, well, you know, we haven't seen the development that we would like, and we're going to get rid of. You need to have someone that you have seen the development in waiting in the wings. And I'm not sure that that's the case right now. I would think that if I don't know what the availability is of guys out there, you know, I think, Eric, you brought up a guy named Trent Dilfer, and I know he retired officially. But a guy like that, to me, would make a lot more sense right now.
I agree.
Than Matt Gutierrez, Matt Cassel, or Kevin O'Connell.
Yep.
And I don't know I don't know what the answer is, but, you know, and I've been a Cassel supporter. I thought they were fine with him as the number two guy. I didn't advocate bringing back Vinny last year, but I haven't seen the development, and I haven't seen really any improvement. I think he has some physical skills, but they don't get put they don't come out. When you watch him consistently in live team periods, 11-on-11, you don't see it consistently. The performance is not there. Most of the stuff that he does in a positive way in a game takes place when maybe he has a bad throw on first down. They run for 2 yards on second down. He gets flushed out of the pocket and scrambles mm-hmm. for 13 in a first right. down, and that keeps the drive alive. You can't live like that in the NFL, especially if you're not like a guy like Michael Vick. I mean, there are very few guys that can consistently run the ball like that. And I don't think Cassel is that athletic to be able to get by just on that.
God, no.
And especially when you have receivers like Moss, Welker, Gaffney.
Got to get on the ball.
You got to get them the ball.
And we saw it last night. There was like a couple play separation between Brady. It might have been 7-on-7, not team. But Brady to Moss. Moss goes down. He's about to make his break. Ball's in the air. Moss makes his break. He makes the catch. 12-yard gain. Move the chains. A couple plays later, Cassel comes in. The receiver, I don't remember who it was, goes down, makes his break. Okay, now he's open. Oh, now Cassel throws the ball. Oh, now the defender is back in the picture. Mm. It's that evolution, and we've said it 1,000 times on this show. Matt Cassel can never get back the reps that he never got.
That's, yeah. I think that's the bottom line, I think.
Gary, what's your problem? Cassel. It made sense.
That's the
you know my
line
point. He's yeah. getting the reps in practice now. Yeah. And in the preseason, that he should have got a million of in college.
Yeah, that he should have had under his belt.
So you can't ever get that back.
Yeah, I'll give you a kind of a staggering stat last night. That is, you like this ceiling thing, huh?
Yeah,
the pro edge.
What are you
Are you seeing this for the first time?
I've always
the first time I've seen it.
I've always had trouble putting in grout and sealant around.
I'm intrigued by it.
Around my toilet and sink, and this seems to do the trick right here.
Yeah,
does
seen
it
this
come out of it, or is it just...
No, you put it on,
you
and
apply
you spread
it,
and
like
then
this.
You spread the blue thing
My
over
guess
it.
Is you end up with it all over your hands, the wall.
And it has a slot for soap.
No, I'm off that.
He is off that, Gary. Come on, keep up.
All right. So
you like
we're
that,
all
though.
Silent watching.
So go ahead, Paul.
Now I forget what I was going to say.
I mean, we normally watch
here's a staggering
but it's boobs.
Last night, staggering stat last night that I heard. Do you realize that Matt Cassel has thrown and completed more passes as a New England Patriot in the regular season than he did in college?
Yeah, I can believe that.
I mean, this is a guy who's played not at all in 3 years as a Patriot backup.
How many was it in college?
It was like 39 in the pros and 33 in college, something like that.
Well, here's
the one
hoping,
did Jason Taylor count?
That's an attempt, yes.
Here's the hoping that he does step it up in the preseason and does, you know, earn that position as the number two because he's got a great personality. He's a great kid.
He's a good guy.
Yeah. I love him.
Yeah, and you guys all heard him here. I mean, he was on our show here.
He got along really well with Brady. He's the perfect kind of backup to Brady.
He says all the right things, too. I think his attitude is perfect. He talked about competing with Brady and not necessarily just with Gutierrez and O'Connell. Like, he goes about I just haven't seen it. He just can't seem to put it together.
Right. And we're comparing him to one of the greatest quarterbacks ever to live.
No, that's not true.
But that's part of, I think
we're
that's
comparing
part of the thing,
him
though.
To just come in with the twos, look like you belong there, throw the ball.
But we're looking
so
for him to look
such
like
such a gap between.
I mean,
and
I know I shouldn't speak for you, Andy. I'm looking for him to show that jump.
Right.
Like Brady's jump was so big. I think that it's hard to eliminate that from your memory.
Like Andy said, when the receiver turned around, made his break, he was open. Okay, and then Cassel saw him and then threw. We saw that out of O'Connell a couple of weeks ago in practice. Now, O'Connell, it's his rookie year. He's having a little change in mechanics. You might expect that from a rookie. Cassel in his fourth year now, he should be getting the ball before the receiver gets out of their break. I mean, that timing should already be developed. He's been in the system for – this is his fourth year now, so that's a little bit of a concern.
Wait a minute. One second. What did you think of Bill's – sorry, Gary. What did you think of Bill's comment about the game? Like, he was quicker. He seemed to be quicker, Cassel. At the line. You're not buying it. No. Okay. Go ahead.
On the phone right now is Dan in Delaware. And by the way, Stripper says he doesn't care if Cassel backed up two Heisman USC, and I can't say the word. He was still a backup. He stinks. That's what Stripper says.
Hey, Dan.
I think Strippers is right.
Oh, wow. Everybody's turning on Cassel.
I'm going to be the last member of that Cassel
honeymoon's
club.
Over here in New England for
Matt
Cassel.
You know what? I am not turning on Cassel. I never thought that he was a good backup to begin with. I'd rather have Steve Grogan in there, you know, backing up Brady.
Oh, for God's sake.
Well, maybe not. But, hey, I called to talk about the defense. But before I do, since you're talking about quarterbacks, did you guys see Colt Brennan Sunday night?
No.
I heard they're going crazy over him.
I didn't see it, but I heard about it. And I will say this. Thomas Dimitroff, who is now in Atlanta heading up the Falcons, told us way back in the preseason how much the Patriots liked him.
Mm-hmm.
We would have been better off with him. He impressed me. I watched that game. You know what he kind of reminded me of is a larger version of Flutie.
He just cut ties.
Right.
He just had a knack.
Paul just left the room.
Sorry. Anyway, the defense. You know, in true Boston fashion, I just want to add, you know, not focus on the positive. I want to focus on what I think. And what's the deal with our cornerbacks this year? Are we as bad off as it looks like? Because the only real talent and guy that I would trust would be Hobbs. But he's never really truly fit into the Belichick system. He's more of a talent guy and not a film guy.
I think the problem we're having as Patriots fans is we're looking at these guys as individuals right now. And if you do that, you say, "Geez, we're not going to be that great covering." But it all depends on how they work as a team.
And
that's what it's going to come down to.
I don't think they're going to be great in the secondary. They weren't great last year with the All-Pro, but I'm not overly concerned at this point because I think we've talked about the wide variety of things they have in their favor. They have talented young players, a draft pick in Terrence Wheatley I think we've all been impressed with. They have the veterans with a guy like Fernando Bryant, who I think, if healthy, has proven he's a pretty competitive NFL corner. They have a coach who has schemed with less in the past and got it done. And I think
a new coach in Dom Capers.
And Dom Capers.
Right.
And then they have three safeties who I think we all think are NFL-caliber safeties that can make plays that they're probably going to lean on,
right.
Certainly Merriweather and his versatility, but I think all three of them. So I'm not as down as maybe I should be, I guess, on the side.
I just think you have to look at them as a whole.
I'll take Andy's optimism a step further. On the field so far in camp, I think they've been impressive,
right.
All of them.
They've been better than we expected.
Unless they're going up against Randy Moss.
Well, but that's different.
But that's, no,
number
saying.
One, that's different. And number two, they haven't exactly, with very few exceptions, gotten blown away by Randy Moss either. They've usually been in the area.
Well, the last couple of days, they've actually broken up some plays.
Wheatley.
Yeah, Merriweather broke it up with his hands. Should have been called an interception.
But if we were playing against Moss, we would have had Harrison beating the snot out of him, too.
Well, that didn't exactly play itself out on the field when we did play against Moss in that game that he caught those bombs.
Remember when
touchdown?
He missed him for the long touchdown?
I'm not too worried about the safety. Actually, if they're going to move Merriweather to safety like it looks like they're going to do. I'm pretty happy with the safety positions. But I was a little worried about hopefully Wheatley can step it up because I think we have to have people. Hobbs is great out there, okay, but he's on an island a lot of times. He doesn't seem to fit into the scheme a lot of times. That's my opinion.
I think you're overrating Ellis Hobbs.
And I think you're going to
I actually think he could be the third best corner out of Bryant, Wheatley, and Hobbs.
Yeah, I think you're going to like what you see out of Bryant, and you're going to be very excited to see Wheatley play.
All right, awesome.
All right, Dan from Delaware. Any update on Eric's girlfriend?
Yeah, she's doing fine. Okay. You know? No, I'm just kidding.
Thanks for the call, Dan.
Hey, Eric.
Yeah.
You know what, though? I got to say, I don't hate you anymore, man. I don't want to see you off the show.
That's good to know. Thanks.
All right. It's a groundswell.
I don't hate him anymore. You got to stay on the show. You're not funny per se. But
slowly but surely gathering momentum.
Gary, what happened to Mini Gary? Where'd he go?
We scared him out of the room.
Why? What do you need?
Well, he was making, he's talking about being interested in making a food run for me.
I'm wondering why they didn't bring me down dessert.
Oh, it was phenomenal, too.
What's going on?
I don't even know what it was, but it was yummy.
They brought you two plates. That wasn't enough.
Well, one of these was Gary's plate.
Oh, well,
you ate from both plates?
Gary, you're on a diet?
I have barely ate anything.
No, he pulled a me.
You had something better.
All right, we're going to take a break now. Gary, we'll be right back.
The New England Revolution are taking on the best teams and the best players in MLS, and you can be there. The Revolution 4-game supporters pack is the ticket to the best matches of the summer. Be there when the Revolution take on Cuauhtemoc Blanco and the Chicago Fire, Juan Pablo Angel and the New York Red Bulls, Ante Razov and Chivas USA, and David Beckham and the Los Angeles Galaxy. It sold out last year. Don't get shut out. Order the 4-game supporters pack to guarantee you're in the building for the best matches of the season. 4-packs start at just $64. Order now and get a Revolution supporter scarf free. Ticket packages and individual game tickets for the entire season are still available. Call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS, Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222, or log on to RevolutionSoccer.net for tickets, game information, and everything else New England Revolution.
What a goal! Taylor Twellman!
Pride.
The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Passion.
Oh my goodness! Michael Parkhurst, are you kidding me?
Revolution. Patriot Place, New England's first and only super regional lifestyle and entertainment center, is now open right next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts. The home of the New England Patriots and the New England Revolution is now the home of New England's most exciting entertainment and shopping destination, featuring Circuit City, Bed Bath & Beyond, Christmas tree shops, off-Broadway shoes, Staples, and New England's first Bass Pro Shops. Patriot Place has something for your shopping needs. And coming soon to Patriot Place is the first CBS Scene restaurant and bar, a four-star hotel, showcase live entertainment venue, and the long-awaited hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Patriot Place will soon be the home to more than 70 shopping, entertainment, and dining experiences unlike any other in New England. Visit patriot-place.com for more information and enter the grand opening sweepstakes for the opportunity to win a $10,000 Visa gift card for a Patriot Place shopping spree. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day. At Patriot Place, everyone wins.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mile and hot sack attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down flanks and more. Patriots gridiron grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots gridiron grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
No way, Jose!
All right, back here. Damian Ware, Stockton, California, says, what's up, guys? Been listening for 5 years now, and the show never gets old. How has Crable, Red, Rudd, Guyton, and Merriweather fared in camp so far?
Crable, not so well. Red, better than we thought,
except for that damn injury that cost him a lot of reps. He's been okay. Although I think both guys have struggled in space.
I was going to say, with the exception of that hit on Heath Evans in the tackling drill, you haven't seen a thing out of Red either.
They actually both have struggled in space.
I haven't really seen a whole lot of good out of either one of those guys.
Sean Crable got his butt chewed out on goal line the other day. Larry Izzo threw him under the bus by throwing his hands up and pointing at him, and then Bill kind of yelled in his direction. Then Thomas came out, Adalys Thomas, to give him advice. It was not a good day for him. Who was next? Rude.
Rude's only been out there for a few days.
He came back on Saturday into it with Sam Aiken last night and got thrown down on his buttocks.
That's right, he did. Yeah.
Who's next?
He's fairly athletic, though. He's pretty quick.
Guyton.
Guyton, I think, has been the most impressive out of that.
And I think knocking on the periphery of like an Eric Alexander type backup and special teams type role. Inside linebacker, has gotten reps with Mayo in some groupings. A guy to keep an eye on, I'd say, in the second twos and threes in preseason action, because a possibility to be next.
Smaller.
Kind of like the Castle thing, by the way. Eric Alexander, you're out. Your development has kind of plateaued. Gary Guyton, you're in.
That's surprising. From the first day he got here, he always looked smaller for that position than I thought he should be. But he's
too small for the outside. I mean, he doesn't have the length to be an outside linebacker in this system. I mean, you got to be 6'5", 6'4", have long arms to be out there.
He's been fairly impressive, Guyton.
Yeah.
And he's gotten some reps, too. Before Mayo moved into the first group, he was with Mayo in the second group,
right,
which I thought was fairly impressive
for an undrafted free agent.
The Victor Hobson era, I mean.
I know.
Clearly, our fears of why he was on the market and why no one was interested and why the Jets didn't re-sign him, I'm starting to feel like those fears.
Big disappointment.
Well,
yeah, he's done very little.
Yeah. It's not like I've seen him stink.
Do bad things.
Like,
just, we haven't seen him out there with the regulars.
He just
is
doesn't
that maybe
get
because
reps.
They feel that he doesn't need the reps at this
well,
point?
Well, no, he has
I would
still
think he
talked
would
about
reps.
Not picking up the
I would
system
think it would
the
be
inside.
The opposite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But certainly he's done nothing.
Like, for example, do you remember, Fred, way back in maybe even 2000, I don't know, 2000, 2001, when they signed Bobby Hamilton right around minicamp? You know, he came in late, and he was immediately out there with the first defensive line group, and the reason given was that he had already known the two-gap techniques from playing for Bill with the Jets and some of the hand techniques and the pad leverage and all that stuff. He was well ahead of the game, so he was out there with the first group. So you would think if it was an advantage that Hobson already had of knowing the stuff, he would be out there more.
Okay. Well.
What are the other guys? Is that the only guys that he was looking for? Rude.
I think we got them all.
We got them all?
Yeah.
Red, Crable, Rude.
Red, Crable, Rude.
Those are all the young linebackers, right? A quick side note, Fred, and you saw this last night, but I wanted to share it with fans because it's one of the funniest things I've ever seen in training camp and certainly in this camp. Eric Alexander, who we just talked about, you know, maybe getting cut, likes to be under the goal posts during field goal action in practice. But on the practice fields, it doesn't really stand out because there's generally it's after red zone work, so there's usually couple dozen defensive players there with him on that end line. You don't really notice it, but he signals whether field goals are good or not. Last night in the stadium for the practice, all the defensive players were still on the sideline, the actual sideline, when they went to do field goal work. Eric Alexander went over under the uprights, stood there, and not only did he signal every Gostkowski kick good or not good, but he actually now has the full routine down where he takes one step forward, points to his right to check with the other official to make sure they saw the same thing, then takes another half step, rotates toward the sideline, and raises his hands like it's good. He's got the whole shtick down. It's phenomenal.
Maybe he wants to be an official when he is done playing.
pretty good.
Practicing. Who knows?
Here's where the old Andy would have said, hey, maybe I'll get a chance soon. But I'm not saying it.
See now. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-543.
He also had a good practice.
You know, see now.
He had a couple interceptions last night, one of which I know you got really mad at, Benjamin Watson and Matt Cassel, I believe. Watson kind of broke free, but Cassel just threw it right to Eric Alexander.
Even Watson was like, what are you doing about? You know,
yeah, and if I'm the quarterback, I'd say, well, normally I hit you in the hands and you drop it because you did that later when I threw it over the linebacker.
Down the seam, beautiful pass right in Watson's hand, and he dropped it.
Right, but Eric Alexander, and then he had a pick earlier in practice too, so had a decent little practice.
A little interesting, not skirmish, but Brady was, they were doing some, you know, 2-minute warning stuff, and clock's moving. So Brady runs up to the line, and he does a little sneak, and this is like kind of a little scrum. And I think he took exception to some people kind of touching him a little bit more than they should
inappropriately.
Have. So he, I don't know who he was jawing at.
Damn right.
He first jawed at one of the defensive players, and then Adalius Thomas ran over.
I think it was Alexander. It was either Alexander or Woods, but I think it was Alexander.
I think it was Alexander. He kind of like, hey, you know, what are you doing? Come on, come on. And then so then Adalius Thomas runs over from his position, runs over and kind of taps Brady on the helmet and says something and then runs back.
I think they have a little thing going on. I'm not sure
AD,
it's all
AD
jokes.
Brady,
yeah.
I got the distinct impression that it wasn't all jokes for AD the day he was joking. And he was clearly joking when he was telling us
and
that wrestling
story.
And he
said the right thing. He came up with a nice little story that distracts from any possible. But they're not.
That was the day Brady
Brady's fire is irritating, and I think it also has to do with he's had a lot of balls batted, or not just him, but he's been on the recipient, the receiving end of some Richard Seymour batted balls, some Adalius Thomas batted balls, and the way he reacts to those,
Adalius Thomas. You shouldn't be getting mad at the defense for that.
Right. Well,
I clearly think that he was mad at AD that on that particular play, and I think that Thomas was kind of one of those. Go over there.
Well,
you know, like
you
I'll squash you.
Yes.
I was almost like, I got the impression from body language. That's a dangerous thing to do from afar. Like Andy said, he said all the right things.
He handled it perfectly.
Made a joke.
Walked
out of it.
Away.
The body language told me that he was a little annoyed with how annoyed Brady was about that.
Right.
The appearance from afar was the superstar had his
doesn't
feathers
like
ruffled
it. Yeah.
Because somebody didn't let him throw the ball. That's what it looked like from afar.
But, again, we're not going to make too much of something that we didn't really know for sure if that was the case.
I like a little tension between the offense and defense.
Well, it was funny because it took about a good week, Fred, before any of that tension really developed. Starting Saturday, there was a little skirmish with a couple. I forget who was involved now, but there was a little fight. Then on Sunday, Andy said there was another little battle.
Mayo got into it.
And you guys were talking last night. There were guys getting kind of thrown around a little bit. And you said Brady's obviously took exception to some of the stuff during the two-minute work. So
this game can't come soon.
You know,
enough,
the whole cliche, you know, you got to hit someone in another color shirt and all that stuff. I think it's a good time for the games to start.
Yeah, now Andy was just transfixed by this wall racer.
It's a car.
The car is that you can race on the walls, and it goes upside down.
The ceiling and everything.
I don't understand how it works.
That's just what Will needs.
I think it's made by that Air Hogs company that makes that other one that, like,
yeah, but
dries,
it
flies.
It can't be magnetic.
No, I think it has a blade that puts aerial pressure, so it's...
Wow. What in the hell is going on?
I might get there.
Gary, you're the one who puts the TVs on.
That's one of the most well-timed drops that we've had in a
Kevin
while.
Couture from St. Mary's, Georgia, by way of the Coast Guard, says... hi, guys, and Michael. Well, Michael's not here yet. First, I'd like to welcome him to the show. I've heard him as a guest host on Rook's show before. I think he's a great fit. Second, I was wondering what you all thought of the linebacking core for this team. How many linebackers do you see us keeping on the roster, and who will they be? And do you see Junior Seau making one last run at it, or is he ready to hang it up? Keep up the great work, and the show is much better off than it was prior to last Tuesday. Thank you. Also, Gary and Dan, you guys do a hell of a job with all the sound bites.
I think we're all intrigued by some of the options at linebacker, not just the young guys, but the Thomas Vrabel bookend outside, see what they can do. So I think there's some, but the question mark is Brewski. And I said to Fred last night, they were doing a lot of nickel and dime stuff, and he is clearly a second teamer. He comes in, there's a you know, Mayo, Thomas, and Pierre Woods were the three linebackers in a lot of the work. And then when a second group came out with Crable and Red and some different, Bruschi is part of that. And he's just clearly becoming a two-down linebacker. And I almost wonder how long is he even going to be a two-down linebacker.
Well, this is probably his last year, I think we would all
right.
agree. But another guy that I'm kind of intrigued about getting a ton of reps and opportunities because of guys being in and out of the lineup is Pierre Woods.
Right.
Is he in the mix, and it certainly looks like he is, to be a legitimate rotational guy on defense? Vrabel hasn't practiced yet, so he's been with the ones from day one, and he's been out there, and he's not out of place at all. Now, I don't know, you know, it's hard in practice. They're not going completely live where you're taking guys to the ground and tackling and stuff, but he's made some nice plays. He's set the edge reasonably well on the run, and he's made a lot of plays in the passing game where he's getting his hands in the way, and he had a great pick of a really short, tight quarter pass on one of the hurry-up drills. I think he's a guy that I don't think any of us really expected to be involved defensively this year, who looks like he's going to be.
Is there any chance that he plays and one of the other two moves inside?
You mean Vrabel or?
Vrabel or Thomas.
Or Thomas? Ooh, I think if Vrabel's healthy, you got to keep him on the outside, especially after the year he had last year. It was his best season.
Well, I don't think there's any chance Vrabel goes inside. Last year, when Vrabel and Thomas were both healthy, Thomas
right,
was the guy
right.
inside. But Thomas did spend a little time inside on Saturday, but it wasn't. I didn't think it was in base. I thought it was more.
Oh yeah, I've seen a lot of sub work.
I thought it was inside. More sub work. I don't.
But
think,
I'm talking about base defense.
I think if something were to happen, you know, maybe they feel good enough about
but
Woods
I'm just
right now.
If Woods is making a jump, because right now he's
you still
a question
need an
mark
extra
for
guy,
me.
Though, and if you're right about Crable in Red, those guys might not be ready, you know, to be even the fourth guy. You know, because if you lose, you know, if you bring Thomas inside, now you just have Vrabel and Woods as guys that you can really count on. And you know he likes to have at least three.
Well, but you also have Thomas because Bruschi comes Thomas plays
both. But how married do you get to Thomas on the inside?
I want to be divorced from it, personally.
I know that you do, but I'm talking about Bill. It doesn't really matter what we think.
No, but I think after after the way Thomas
it
played,
is what it is.
When Colvin went out last year and they got Thomas to move to the outside pretty much exclusively, he was making the plays more frequently than he
was
been
who he
the
thought
season.
We was.
Right.
He was.
And so I think it would behoove the
culminating
team to keep
with
him.
The Super Bowl. To
exactly.
Back your point, Eric.
Exactly. And I think he's clearly a better fit there. He's more comfortable there.
But you get back to that whole who are your four best? Is the if Woods
one.
Is going up and Bruschi's going down, are
then
you better off with the four?
Is Woods, no, is Woods better than Bruschi?
Because I'm 100%. Woods. Vrabel and Thomas are wasted at inside linebacker. They can be better impact players on the outside. But in the whole, what's in the best interest of the team, getting your four best linebackers
it's,
on the field.
It's an interesting
if
proposition.
Woods has suddenly had this, he's still a question mark to me. Because to me, he's Eric Alexander from 2 years ago, who started an AFC title game. So the next year you think, well, I mean, I guess Eric Alexander is going to be in the mix for playing time, and we never saw the guy play again, really.
But he's
now Woods plays in the Super Bowl. In training camp, Vrabel's out. He's getting all these reps. I still think there's a chance Vrabel comes back and Pierre Woods goes back to being, you know, an afterthought, that maybe he's just truly taking the reps, you know, the opportunity that's there, but maybe isn't quite the evolving player that he looks to be.
Or he gives Vrabel and Thomas a spell more frequently than
could
they
be.
Normally would get
could
and
be.
Keep them fresh later in the game. Because he's making that jump right now playing on the outside. That's not to say that if they moved him inside in place of Bruschi, he would make that jump again because it's, you know, it's still linebacker, but it's a different
who
type
talking
of
about?
One. Woods.
Oh, he's got no chance of playing inside, I don't think.
No.
If you're moving one of the guys, it's the two that have done it. Well, I shouldn't say no chance. I don't personally think he could. But, you know, hey,
no.
I didn't think Roman Pfeiffer could, and he was fine.
I would agree with you in terms of that. It would be either Vrabel or Thomas, and I think it would be Thomas to move. It's an interesting proposition that you bring up, Andy, because it's not unlike Bill to do something one way for an entire training camp and then, you know, September 7th.
Especially with
all
veterans.
Of a sudden you see, you know.
I mean,
yeah,
Woods has practiced outside all camp, so it doesn't affect him.
He doesn't need to have
boom,
Thomas play
Thomas in
inside
or whatever.
Anymore. He knows that Thomas can play inside because he spent all of camp last year in whatever, the first 11 games or 10 games until Colvin got hurt.
Right.
So he knows that Thomas can do that. You know, Lee Kevin Smith said something yesterday about, you know, he's been playing defensive end. you know, and we've had Jarvis Green out. Seymour's been in and out. You know, Mike Wright has been on PUP. So he's been another one of those guys like Woods that's gotten a lot of run with the first units. And, you know, talking about playing, we thought he might be a candidate to be a backup to Wilfork. It looked like they were trying to kind of groom him for that last year. And I asked if he was still doing anything like that, you know, still moving inside and outside. He said, well, I've been all outside for this camp, but I've been around long enough to know that they already expect me to know what I'm doing
right.
at all the spots. So I need to be ready to do those
But
things.
They don't need him anymore in there because, Fred, they have who in there? Backup nose tackle. Oh, you came up with a nickname for him.
Beef Fajita.
He was proud of himself last night when he said it.
He's proud of himself
now,
too.
I was going to say he's mildly proud of himself right now.
And to be fair, he's not even really in the mix. The other guy, Titus
Adams. He was in the mix, and now it looks like Titus Adams, who has taken, now that Chris Norwell is no longer on the team,
irrelevant name
Titus Adams has taken his spot as the most anonymous guy. Not irrelevant.
Oh,
Andy.
Sorry.
Anonymous. There's a difference.
Progress
we should
is
mention
irrelevant.
that they signed John Welborn yesterday and released Chris Norwell. Welborn is a guy that's
another
been
day,
around
another
10,
tackle.
11 years.
Offensive line.
I think it's something to me. Andy and I talked about this off the air yesterday. I think it's a concern, Fred. The offensive line and
Matthew
the state of flux that it's in. You know, you got Light has been out of practice for a while. Neal hasn't practiced yet. I'm a little concerned. They keep signing guys that have been around 10, 11 years. They're not signing guys that are just available.
They're not signing offensive line development guys.
No.
They're signing guys that have experience and could start.
So I'm a little concerned about that.
Where's Matt Light, Fred? Have you seen him?
I don't know. I haven't been to Bass Pro in a few days. He might be over there.
Well, tell him to get to practice.
Let's see. Alejandro from Bogota writes in, during the season, all of you pick games on Thursday. To make it interesting, why not have the host with the worst weekly record go to the John Rook Show?
He doesn't work here anymore.
It'll be it'll be fun. You will be focused making your picks, and Patriots Playbook would be known as the Rook and Curse Show. Oh, thanks a lot. Didn't I happen to win that last year?
I don't know.
I don't know about that. But
you're also not leaving this show. We
you
need
beat you. The guy that doesn't work here anymore.
Right. I won my bet. I know that.
So did everybody else.
Also, can James from PFWinProgress.com come up with some sort of game where we can compete against you picking straight-up winners? If he wants to, sure.
Sure.
You know, we do our picks every Thursday. That could be logged onto PFW Progress. And you try to beat the pros.
Boy, that'll be humiliating.
When 172 people beat us.
I'll look at the standings the next day. Wow, I'm in 400th and 11th place.
I mean, you basically do that in PFW every week, and you don't do that bad.
No, but it's other media members.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And there's only like 10 or 11 of us. Well,
and we always do decent.
Yeah. No,
we always
I'm
hang
just
around.
Kidding.
Question from Alejandro is, how thin is the team at cornerback, and can you tell if Mayo has good coverage skills?
I don't think there's excellent coverage skills. As we thought there would be coming
we're
in.
We're so positive today. Everybody thinks the corner's stinking. We're feeling pretty good about the corner action we've seen out there.
I actually think, Andy, and it's one of the things I was going to write about in the commentary, I think that's been one of the things that's been the most pleasant surprises, is the play of guys like Wheatley and Will Height and Fernando Bryant. I think those guys look...
Yeah, like Lewis Sanders even.
Yeah, I think those guys have looked solid.
Hey, what happened with this Chicago White Sox team?
Oh, I don't know, but, you know, in listening to Boston radio...
Brewers.
Thank you very much, Fred. But, you know, I listened to Boston radio a couple of months back, and these kinds of things don't ever happen. Fights in the dugout in front of the cameras
Prince
so everybody
Fielder
can see
like
it.
He was going to kill the guy.
Even though that's the fourth one I can remember right off the top of my head in the last year.
But what happened there?
The guy got taken out of the game, evidently, in the middle of an inning, and generally the etiquette, this is according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, whatever that paper is, generally the etiquette is that he stays there until the inning is over, the pitcher, before he goes to the clubhouse, and he was going right to the clubhouse, and Prince Fielder didn't like that and said something to him, and that was pretty... heated exchange.
Yeah. I mean,
although Para didn't look like he wanted any part of that.
I wouldn't have either.
No, and Mike and Mike were funny this morning. They said it would have been interesting if it was CC Sabathia.
Yeah.
That's a heavyweight
bout.
That's a
sumo wrestling bout.
Todd from Nova Scotia writes in. Todd, I do have to say before I read his email, he's becoming very, very nasty, I noticed.
Really
becoming.
Tough. Really tough on Eric.
Yeah, he's. Todd, is everything all right?
You having problems at home?
I just noticed you become very antagonistic and argumentative.
I thought he was always like that.
Well, no, I've talked with his mother. His mother is very concerned because he's not even bringing up his cereal bowls from downstairs.
He's leaving
anymore.
The dirty dishes in the basement.
Yeah, you know. So, Todd, is everything all right? I just want to make sure. But anyway, he has a question.
What are you doing, Gary? Because Fred needs that.
Gary
piece of
just
paper
took
with
down
the number
for the phone, 508-543-7482, and put it down.
It worked.
He wanted me to give out the phone number. He could have just said that. Give out the phone number.
No, because when he tells you to do stuff, you ignore him.
Anyway, Todd in Nova Scotia says, after watching the rookies for a couple of weeks now, if you had to go back and do the draft again with the knowledge that you have now, would you, one, not move down in the first, risking losing Gerard Mayo, or two, would you still take O'Donnell in the third, and three, still make the move to move up to get Matthew Slater? So first, would you not move down in the first, risking losing Gerard Mayo?
But then
who would you take?
I still want Gerard Mayo.
I want Mayo, but I think that you could have done the same thing. Right. I don't think anybody was going to take him higher, so you knew that.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
So I would have done the same thing.
Would you still take O'Connell in the third? I said O'Donnell. He wrote O'Donnell. I meant O'Connell.
I mean,
I'm not ready to say that that's a bad pick.
No,
I just think that he's got a little ways to go.
He hasn't looked great.
He's a rookie in his third week of practice.
Right. So it's hard to say.
Yeah. I'm fine with that pick.
And would you still move up to take Matthew Slater?
Well, I'm getting close to saying yes to that one.
Me too.
And I would have said no on draft day.
Me too. Because you know what? As much as I think that the Patriots scouting department's great, I can only imagine that there's other scouting departments that are good, and maybe they got word that someone else had their eyes on this guy.
Oh, I'm just basing it on what I've seen out there. He's got a ridiculous second gear. He seems to have a knack for returning, and I say seems to because I want to see game action.
Sure.
But I'm comparing him. It's the same exact drills that I compare him to Chad Jackson or who else has been out there, C.J. Jones maybe.
Yeah.
And he looks ridiculously different. He separates himself from the group.
His acceleration is
his acceleration, but his vision too.
And his vision.
He smoothly... You know, it's a three-quarter drill for all of them, but somehow Chad Jackson still runs into guys' backs and still gets wrapped up, whereas Matthew Slater seems to always find this nice little seam and shoots through.
He just knows when to change direction before guys get to him.
Ease off probably like the Devin Hester talk, which Chris Ferreira, our webmaster, is already betting with me that he's going to have at least three returns for a touchdown.
He's betting you that?
Yes.
Oh, such an idiot.
The only thing I'll say, and I am coming around, we talked about this on our podcast yesterday, and I think
it was
Fred,
too long, according to Fred.
Yeah,
we probably should have cut
we did
that
too
part
much,
out.
We did too much work. But Fred was certainly the first to the party, and we'll give him credit for that. He does have everything that you guys just talked about. But I have to be consistent. If I wouldn't have changed, I still would have traded down and gotten Mayo.
Me too.
Because I don't think that Mayo would have gone in those picks. I think if you did it over again, I don't think anybody was going to take him that
certainly
high.
Certainly glad they didn't draft Keith Rivers like I said
I still
they
don't, I still I have to be consistent. I still don't think Matthew Slater was worth trading up for in the fifth round. I think that he is showing his value, but I'm not sure that he was.
But what
people
if,
were
well,
clamoring
what if you
on
had
that
clear
door.
Knowledge
well,
that
how
the team
you,
ahead
though?
Well, sometimes it happens.
If that were the
you
case,
find out.
That would have to be the case, Fred, because as we were sitting there in the booth
I
when it happened.
You're right.
You know, we had NFL.com and the draft tracker. They didn't even have Matthew Slater's height, weight, or position. They had no information on the kid. So it had to be a situation where they thought somebody else was interested and was going
to
take him.
Go
or
to
else,
the combine. No
why
one was
bother? He would have been available as a free agent.
He thought he was going to be a free agent. But based on the value, like if he's three quarters as good a returner as Devin Hester, if he's a normal good returner who averages 27, 28 yards per kick, has a score, has a couple others that he breaks and just breaks midfield. In this day and age, people are drafting those types of players.
I'm actually hoping the Patriots give up a few extra touchdowns this Thursday just to give him more opportunities. I want to see
getting
this guy.
Cocky over there.
It's a preseason game. Who cares what the score is?
I'm not making fun of you. I think you're funny. That's all. There's a difference.
The first to the party part. I mean, he's the first to the pro party on every guy put on a Patriots uniform.
I'm not making excuses. I'm just giving him credit. I thought it was a strange pick, and Fred was, you know, right there saying that they picked him because he's Jackie's son. He was the first to the party. I was wrong. Fred was right.
Speaking of other people who are always right, John in Palm Bay. John, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Hey, John.
How's the weather down there in Palm Bay today?
It's pretty hot in the 90s. It's going to rain, though.
Oh, going to rain. Okay. Well, it pretty much rains every day this time of year, right, down there?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yep. Okay, thanks for calling. No, I'm only kidding, Sean. What's on your mind?
I got a couple questions since I'm down in Florida and I read your guys' blogs. I just want to hear who you guys on the veterans and rookies, who you think is the biggest disappointment and biggest surprise so far.
Biggest disappointment, biggest surprise.
Disappointment, Victor Hobson at this point.
Sure. That's a good one.
Yeah.
And I think your boy, Fred.
Slater?
Matthew Slater has probably been the biggest surprise.
Biggest surprise.
Yeah. Because, you know, Mayo has made that jump lately, but I think being the number 10 pick overall, we kind of expected that to happen sooner or
but
later.
But on this team, I'm still mildly surprised he's come this far this quickly.
Mayo?
Mayo. Because on this team, usually it takes a little longer than maybe on some other teams.
Maybe, but at that position, there was an opportunity
clearly coming in. Yep.
And Mayo's position coach, who we talked to for the paper when we did our post-draft analysis, was saying that the kid is so smart that he said he could even come back to Tennessee and coach the position better than I do at this point. So that was pretty high praise for the kid at that point. So I'm not really that surprised that he's making the jump.
It's interesting. Slater was playing defense when he was in position stuff. Now he's doing a little wide receiver. I mean, can you imagine getting the ball in his hands in the open field? That's intriguing.
Okay. Bring it back in a little bit.
Oh, no.
Be happy that he's a good returner, and we're all starting to buy into the return game.
Maybe even
that he's a good gunner.
I'm working him in.
Ease off.
I'm working him in.
Let him make the team first as a returner.
I think that extra gear that you guys are talking about is absolutely evident. I'm excited
to see
him.
Yeah, but Devin Hester is all world as a returner, and the Bears have been struggling to get him involved as an offensive player.
True. Because he's not as good as Slater.
We also have some pretty good receivers already on the team that I think they can get the ball to without having to.
Would you rather they? Because he'll have to play in the slot. So Welker to the bench later in.
No, you can't have two slot guys.
What do you do with Gaffney?
Not really,
he doesn't have to play every down. I'm telling you, mix
Gaffney.
It up. You mix
you
it
like
up.
Gaffney.
You mix it up.
Okay, biggest disappointment and biggest surprise. Is that what the question was?
Yep.
I'll stick with Victor Hobson on the biggest disappointment, biggest surprise.
Biggest surprise.
I'm going to go with Mayo. How quickly I've fallen in love with him and ever been impressed. I knew I was going to be impressed, so he had high expectations for me, and he's met those. I mean, or maybe even surpassed them, because I'm all in with him.
I think to me a disappointment, and you know we should be used to it by now. But Stephen Neal, I want him on the field.
Oh yeah,
disappointment. I mean the guy. You know, Paula said before he might be just as talented. An offensive lineman as on this team.
But you can't take the injuries.
Athletic-wise,
skill-wise,
but I want him on the field.
But he can't do anything about
a bad shoulder. I know, but I'm just disappointed that he's not on the field.
In the outcome of the situation.
Yes.
Now, Chad Jackson, one of my...
I'm not blaming him.
Paul thinks Chad...
That's a Fred disappointment. It has nothing to do with the player.
No, I'm just disappointed he's not out there.
Now, Paul's been impressed with Chad Jackson of late, but I've been down on Chad Jackson throughout camp, and I've been disappointed. It's a make-or-break
year. That's because you're a negative guy.
Was I negative when I said Pro Bowl before the rookie deal ends?
Just because you liked him at one time doesn't
mean
you're not
negative
during
the Pro Bowl. Is if he buys a ticket like the rest of the
fans.
You
have the right to change your mind.
I think that
make or break, it broke.
Chad Jackson, I think, is beyond a doubt my most disappointing guy.
Cut.
Well, I don't know. He's not going to get cut. I don't think he's going to get cut.
I think he's going to get cut.
Matthew Slater could beat him out.
I think he's good. Well, that's why I think he's going to get cut, because you're going to have all these
I haven't done my charts yet. Let me get my
Sam
charts
Sam Aiken,
going.
Kelly Washington, Matthew Slater are all would-be fourth, fifth wide receiver contributors.
Yep.
And Sam Aiken is another possibility for surprise of camp. He's actually been a pretty decent receiver from what we've seen.
That's a good
strong hands.
That's a good surprise of camp right there, Eric. I like it.
And some fans on our blog, I know you mentioned the blog, John, starting to wonder if the Larry Izzo era could be coming to an end based on some of these other bodies and the way the roster shakes out.
Well, if you have all those receivers not make the team that you said, then there's room for more special team-only types like Aiken and Slater.
Kelly Washington.
You know, if Chad Jackson's gone, then someone's got to stay on the roster.
No, but I'm saying Antoine Spahn makes it, say, and I think he's a part special teamer. Gary Guyton, say he makes it.
He could be a guy. Gary Guyton could turn out to be a guy, a backup linebacker that might offer you more in that regard and play special teams. Mm-hmm. And Aiken has taken over a lot of Izzo's responsibilities.
Yes, up back, personal protector on the punt team.
Yeah. All right, can I ask you guys one more question?
Nope. Yes, certainly.
Just God forbid if Brady goes down, say, in week 3 of preseason,
it's over.
What do you think the odds of us getting one after Brett Favre would be?
Oh, boy.
Wow. Last long. Who was?
I think that's a very
legitimate
question.
He wants to play
question.
In the cold weather. It's a championship team, caliber team without a quarterback. I don't think it's a
I think it's a very
question.
Legitimate question. If Brady were to get hurt in the preseason and the Favre situation is not resolved by then?
Well, boy, what would the Pats have to give up, though?
Well, speaking
but you got to at least kick the tires, don't you?
Yeah, why not? Yeah, why yeah. not? You know Brady's not going to...
If he's out for any significant length of time.
I mean, obviously, not just for selfish reasons.
Imagine that.
With Brady. I don't want Brady to go.
That would be great.
That would be
awful. That would be great.
But I want to watch Brett Favre.
I just want to point out that Fred just said
it would be great
if Brady got hurt in the third preseason game.
Of course it's not great if Brady gets hurt. But if he did get hurt, making lemonade out of lemons, you bring... and. Oh, my God, that would be something.
Well, I'm sure it would be intriguing from our perspective for stories, paper sales, covers.
Yeah, I want no part of Brett Favre.
I don't really either.
Guys who, you know, crazy type of people that, you know, we in New England think anyone that's available should be here. There's rumors out of the Panthers that maybe they're done with Steve Smith. Maybe they're willing to put him on the trade block. What about bringing him here? Steve Smith.
Certainly solves your number two receiver.
There you go.
Dilemma.
There you go. Holy mackerel. Steve Smith lined up across from Randy Moss on the other side. Oh, my God.
And it's an
embarrassment.
That's
just not fair. That's just not fair. You know, and we get him in line. You know, we'll make sure he doesn't punch anybody here.
That would have to be no sooner than week. Well, the Panthers suspended him, right?
Not
the league.
Well,
no. No, no, no. The
team
suspended
him.
Right.
Suspended.
So if you traded for him, he could play
right
away.
If you traded for him, he could play immediately.
That's absolutely right. Mm.
Just wanted to give fans an update. We have the TV on for a reason, so we can tell you these things. ESPN 60 or E60, whatever they call it, August 12th, an exclusive Randy Moss sit-down interview about, it looks like a lot about NASCAR, but I'm assuming they'll touch on some other stuff when they do it.
That's
Moss
it.
Motorsports.
You broke in for that?
I waited till you guys were done talking.
I thought you were going to give
Favre. I didn't know you needed more time to lust after what 17 other all-pro players the Patriots can get this offseason.
Well, he is Fred. That's what he does.
But
stop
making
fun of him.
Are you
still celebrating the Week 3 injury of Tom Brady in the preseason?
Remember when you got hurt? That was awesome.
And you do put Steve Smith on the block, and the Patriots say they're interested. What are you looking for if you're Carolina?
First-round pick.
Nothing less?
Certainly nothing less. Probably something more. The guy is a... legitimate playmaker.
He's one of the five best receivers in football.
He really is. And he's strong. He's fast. Great hands.
He hits hard.
A ton of heart.
What too. A one-two punch that would be.
I like it. You can question his, some of the things he's done, and certainly this particular incident, but on the field, he plays with a ton of heart.
Yeah. That would be great. Oh.
Are you not happy with the team as
constituted? I'm always looking for what's
best
interest.
Embrace the hate in 08. That will just add to it.
As you guys know, Fred wants us to beat everybody by 40 to 50 points.
At least.
Year. Right.
At least.
Do you want us to shut everybody out,
imagine?
Too? Do you want to have a scoreless season on defense?
I want complete and utter humiliation.
Do you remember when Welker ran for that
third down pass? After the game, their girlfriends to say, I'm not even interested in you anymore. You know, I'm going to go date a hockey player. I don't. Yeah.
I'm going to go date a hockey player.
That's what I want to happen. Paul's just shaking his head. He can't believe
it. Is there anything else to do after that?
What else can I say? I can't add anything to that.
Louie from Tampa, Florida. My question is about rookies. Since the Patriots schedule is some teams who drafted early, who are you most eager to watch? Glenn Dorsey and Brandon Albert from the Chiefs? Jake Long from Miami, Chris Long from St. Louis, or Vernon Golston from the Jets?
Vernon Golston from the Jets.
Golston,
has looked lost.
With second being Dorsey. I really have no interest whatsoever in watching offensive linemen of any nature. And
right.
Chris Long, I think I have a pretty good idea. I know what he's going to be.
Right. Is Dorsey the one that got hurt recently?
Yeah. He just had an MRI. He's missing a little time.
He's going to miss at least a week.
He knows that Andy can't wait for the November 30th matchup against the Steelers.
Oh, well, of course.
And that'll be ridiculous.
Yeah, by the way, strippers. Malcolm Kelly. Hurt. Surgery. I win.
It's very Macapello-ish of you right there.
Although I think Lima Swede might be hurt, too.
So now he's for drilling.
That was great today.
Ethan writes in, and usually I give his whole name, and he's from Delaware. He asks specifically that I not give out his last name anymore.
What's his last name?
I can't say it. He asked me not to do it.
You almost did it. You almost got him, Andy.
Boobs are on the screen. Fred's no longer going to pay attention to the show.
My goodness. One of them's like an Amazon woman.
It does kind of look like China.
Ethan says, finally getting ready to see some action against another team. The score doesn't matter, but it will certainly help to evaluate guys. Anyway, just a couple quick questions. One, is Larry Izzo's spot on the roster safe? With Slater and Aiken impressing on special teams in camp, do you think Izzo might be cut to keep a guy like Guyton or Red as a developmental project?
Possibly.
Es posible. Yeah. Pero.
So more possible.
No, it's on the table.
I'd say more possible now than.
Boy, that's a tough cut.
That's a really tough cut.
Tough cut for everyone.
Really tough cut.
I mean, Bill says that's the worst part of his job, and that would be tough.
But you know, it would
sometimes
be.
Sometimes you got to make tough decisions.
Right.
That's what Bill gets paid for, to make those tough calls.
Especially when, you know, we watched that linebacker versus running back pass rush drill. And, you know, love Larry Izzo as a guy, but he can never make any headway in that drill. And if you have a young guy like maybe a Guyton who maybe has any sort of shot at being an every down, or not an every down, but like a rotational player, which we know Izzo is not, you know, and if he can play special teams, you know, I think, yeah, I think maybe it is more of a possibility now than maybe back in April when they were drafting.
Really keep an eye on the first couple of games, the special teams units, kickoff, punts, punt coverage, stuff like that. See if Izzo's out there and see if guys like Guyton are out there. If they are, then that could be a good audition for the younger guys. And if they handle those, if Gary Guyton can go out there and show Bill that he can be relied upon as a special team guy, I think it, you know, the writing might be on the wall.
Plus, you have the leadership of, and I'm going to assume Sam Aiken is a decent special teams leader, because that's what he was. Larry Izzo in Buffalo, mm-hmm. and Bill raved about him for years when we'd play them. And you add in Kelly Washington, who clearly became leader in that area for this team last year. I think maybe in the past you would have been worried, because we always heard that Izzo was basically the special teams coach de facto. Mm-hmm.
I would hate that if he goes. But, you know, you're right.
It's a business,
at some
Paul.
Point, at some point, it ends for everybody.
This is what,
I mean,
13?
You can't let Gary Guyton go because you need one more year out of Izzo.
You hate for it to end in training camp. You want it to end on your own terms.
Well,
got to do what's best for the
and
team.
He's a guy. He's a guy that constantly worries about that too. I'm going to try to talk to
that'll
him a
be the
bit
tough
next
part.
Week.
Oh, yeah, bring that up. So, Larry, you see all these young special teamers really nipping at the old heels, eh?
No, but you know what? The guy should be thankful. 13 years in the NFL. What is he? 5'9"?
Right.
Maybe 200 and something.
Point. He really made himself a niche.
Yeah.
Two. Who has
then,
the inside track?
Will you still be able to do Larioki, as Chris Gasper said yesterday?
Sure. Right. Yeah.
Who has the inside track on the fourth cornerback spot? Early on, I would have said Webster, but I think he's falling behind the longer he is injured. So what are the top three?
Hobbs, Bryant, Wheatley.
Wheatley. And Wheatley.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not necessarily in that order.
Right.
But.
At this point, I'd say
Will Height.
Will Height's in the mix.
Yeah.
I don't know where Webster is in terms of physically, because it's, you know, as we pointed out earlier, it was the 27th was the first day that he missed. That's a long time.
Spahn has played well.
Well, he's now a safety.
He's
it seems
a safety.
Like. No, but he could be the fourth corner.
He could be a fourth corner.
You're right. I love Spahn's camp. I think he's had a very good camp. I think he's got a very good chance to make the team as a maybe fourth, fifth corner, fourth safety. Would it be the fourth safety and a special teamer? Mm-hmm. That's three roles he's filling out there. So you couldn't. They don't keep a lot of corners sometimes with Merriweather and the flexibility there. Maybe if a Spahn. I mean. There's a chance it's those guys. Maybe Will Height makes it for a developmental reason more so than a veteran might.
You'd like to see a Lewis Sanders be in that mix, too, only if for no other reason. He's the tall, one of the tallest ones at corner.
They don't care about that, though.
No, but
I understand what your point is, too. And I,
it would be nice if a guy like that size had it. But no, I know they don't care about it. But, you know, he's still hanging around. He's certainly
plus, you talk to him. You're pulling an Andy.
Yeah, he was a good talker. I'll give you that.
He's a talker.
It's like I want Beef Fajita to make the team, but let's be honest. It's an uphill battle.
What is happening on the offensive line? Did shaving their beards rob them of their strength? Are the injuries serious, or can we expect that other than Neal to have the rest of the guys back for the start of the season?
I wouldn't expect anything with Matt Light. No, he's missed now, what are we, 10 days?
Same day, the 27th.
Yeah. So,
yeah, that's a concern.
And they are clearly concerned because they're signing guys with 100 games experience.
They've signed two guys that have had 10-plus years in the league since then. They're not, like Andy said earlier in the show, they're not just signing developmental guys.
Yeah.
They're signing guys that could potentially step in once they get the hang of things.
Right.
And I think there's some concern.
And there's
over
lots of
the
ripple
starters.
Effect. It's all the movement with Kazier on the left side.
Right.
Now, O'Callaghan's out. Britt's on the right side. What's his name? Wellborn is now playing. Mm-hmm. He started yesterday right tackle with the second group. There's a lot going on in it. Billy Yates,
is he really the right?
Yeah. Is Billy Yates really your starting right guard, or is that, you know, sort of like LaKeven Smith on defense? It's because the couple guys in front of him.
Well, the interesting
Russ Hochstein.
That's the interesting thing to me with Yates is that the first day, the first practice, it was Hochstein at right guard. The night practice that first day, it was Yates, and it's been Yates every day since.
But then Bill gave Hochstein like the
That was more of a
Gary, you got your ball washing effect? And Gary's getting something or not really ready. But I wonder, just is that because he doesn't have a backup center and Hochstein's the backup center? Because he's not ready to put Dan Conley.
But Yates can play center too, right?
I think he has.
I'm not sure it's the most natural of.
Yeah, I think Hochstein is a more natural fit there.
Just to give you an idea, when he was asked about Russ Hochstein's versatility, when he was asked about Russ Hochstein's versatility yesterday, Bill said, "I don't know where we would be without it." You know, he's one of the most consistent players that we have. What did he say? I'm just trying to look at some of the other stuff. I was trying to think of some of the other things that he said.
He said something about the highest praise you can give a lineman like him is you don't know that he's out there, and he'd say
that
with
him. That's right. You don't,
Yeah, his ability to go out and play consistently and execute things at a reasonably good level wherever he is was very impressive.
Big PFW fan. Loves our TV show.
All right, on the phone right now is Dave from Storrs, Connecticut. Dave, how you doing?
Good. How's it going, guys?
Great.
I had a question about Jonathan Wilhite.
Okay.
I wanted to know if you guys knew the severity of his injury. I know that he was out yesterday. He went out yesterday covering somebody. Maybe it was Welker.
He was covering Wes Welker in the end zone. Stayed down for a while on the sideline, then got up. The trainers came over, walked up, did appear to loosen up, jogged on the sideline, did a little jogs with the end of practice sprints, but we don't really have much more to offer since that. They haven't had a practice session since then. I wouldn't be shocked if he's not out there today, just because if you have a hamstring issue, oftentimes you're more cautious than not. See Randy Moss from a year ago, but you certainly don't want to set back his entire rookie development by rushing him back on the field if he's got a little twinge there.
I just think it's concerning because if you have him out, I know that he was showing a little bit of flash in camp, maybe a little potential. They have all those other guys out too, so I just thought it was a little bit of a concern maybe at the depth for the secondary there.
Yeah, the depth is an issue there right now with Webster out since nearly the beginning of camp, Wilhite now with an issue, and Hobbs is, I don't know what the percentage would be, 75-85%. He's not at full speed out there. Fernando Bryant's really been the only, and Wheatley have been the only consistent guys. So, yeah, depth's an issue. But you have Richardson, and as we talked about, you have a lot of these safety-slash-cornerback types in Spahn, Merriweather, Sanders. I think they could get through it. It might not be ideal, but the question would be if any of these injuries like a Webster are long-term issues.
You see, I didn't really give Richardson much of a shot to make the team, but now with all these injuries and the depth concerns, I think that if Richardson if he comes on and he has a few more picks in practice, plays consistent in the preseason, I think he's got a shot to make the team now, too.
I don't. I still think I'd be stunned if he made the team. I think he would, as a third, fourth corner, or I think he's behind some of the safeties.
He hasn't gotten
as
many reps with those first two groups as many of the other guys have.
Yeah, I think he had more reps last year. In that.
Just from the layman's point of view, I think the Wilhites and Wheatleys and Bryants and Websters and now Hobbs, obviously. I think all of those guys have been out there more often with the earlier groups than Richardson has.
Okay, guys, good stuff. I'll talk to you later.
All right. David Storrs is calling in.
Keep me up to date when you hear anything on Jordan Todman's impact on the Huskies. Coming to town soon.
All right, Gary, we're going to take a break. It's 1:30. We'll be right back.
After today's show, Fred can't wait to get home to use his new chipper. He actually talks to it like it's a real person.
This is the most fun I've ever had giving you wood.
Patriots.com Radio.
The
New England Revolution are taking on the best teams and the best players in MLS, and you can be there. The Revolution 4-game supporters pack is the ticket to the best matches of the summer. Be there when the Revolution take on Cuauhtemoc Blanco and the Chicago Fire, Juan Pablo Angel and the New York Red Bulls, Ante Razov and Chivas USA, and David Beckham and the Los Angeles Galaxy. It sold out last year. Don't get shut out. Order the 4-game supporters pack to guarantee you're in the building for the best matches of the season. Four packs start at just $64. Order now and get a Revolution supporter scarf free. Ticket packages and individual game tickets for the entire season are still available. Call the Revolution ticket office at 1-877-GET-REVS. Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222. Or log on to revolutionsoccer.net for tickets, game information, and everything else New England Revolution.
What a goal! Taylor Twellman!
Pride.
The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Passion.
Oh my goodness! Michael Parkhurst! Are you kidding me?
Revolution.
Patriot Place, New England's first and only super regional lifestyle and entertainment center, is now open right next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts. The home of the New England Patriots and the New England Revolution is now the home of New England's most exciting entertainment and shopping destination, featuring Circuit City, Bed Bath & Beyond, Christmas tree shops, Off-Broadway shoes, Staples, and New England's first Bass Pro Shops. Patriot Place has something for your shopping needs. And coming soon to Patriot Place is the first CBS Scene restaurant and bar, a four-star hotel, showcase live entertainment venue, and the long-awaited hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Patriot Place will soon be the home to more than 70 shopping, entertainment, and dining experiences unlike any other in New England. Visit patriot-place.com for more information and enter the grand opening sweepstakes for the opportunity to win a $10,000 Visa gift card for a Patriot Place shopping spree. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day. At Patriot Place, everyone wins.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mile and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
All right, James from PFW in Progress wants to remind everyone that the PFW in Progress Pick'em League is up. He says, hope all is well in PFW land.
What's a Pick'em League, and are we involved?
That's what we talked about earlier.
I've been really enjoying the training camp coverage both on .com and the blog. I also have set up the PFW in Progress Pick'em League and have posted the joining details on the forum. I'll add your scores each week and publish a weekly table, including the listeners. P.S. Don't forget to plug the T-shirts. Okay, I just did. Now, the Pick'em League is you have to go on to this place on PFW Progress, and it shows you how to do it. You go in, join a private group section. You enter 8021 in the group ID. Okay.
Yeah, if they go to PFWProgress.com and go to forum, they can find it.
Okay. And Eric is gay.
Did you add that? Was that your own editorial note, Fred?
It's on the paper here.
Eric is gay.
Matt and Quincy, for the record, right after the draft, I bet you guys that Matt Slater would make the team, and you guys said if he did, you would send me a T-shirt. Nice to see you guys are coming around. I guess if he makes the team, you get a T-shirt.
What's your address, Matt?
Matt from Quincy. I think if you just put that on the envelope, it gets there.
Matt from Quincy?
Yeah.
Is it like Santa Claus? They
exactly.
Send it to
your local massage parlor?
We got a chance to meet Matt from Quincy last week. Were you here? Yes. Andy, you probably weren't. It was a late practice.
Let's see. Strippers wants to know, does Slater bring the ball past the 50 on Thursday?
Yes.
Yeah. No.
Paul
says
no.
Negative. Yes.
I have no idea.
He takes it to his house.
Sure. I don't know. I have been very impressed with that. If that's negative, I've been very impressed with him, Andy. Is that negative?
What?
I've been very impressed with
him. Well, you think he's going to have just a mediocre return?
You know, getting it out past the 40 is now mediocre.
Let's see. Pat Sox. I don't know who this is. Anyway,
you don't have to read people's addresses.
That's John.
What? John in L.A. Okay,
now
he says.
Everybody knows.
Paul Perillo says a lot of funny things that go often. These are quick hits he has.
Oh, okay.
It's like a thoughts column.
You like know, Paul's doing.
Thoughts column.
I am doing one of those this week.
Are you really?
Yeah.
In our paper?
Yeah.
Okay.
On camp.
In our paper.
I don't know. He works for so many outlets now.
You're right.
Fred, I'm not allowed to write for any other outlets.
No, that's not true. If it's out of the region, it'd be okay.
I don't write for any other outlets.
Okay. You sort of have.
Really?
Why, something going on I don't know about?
What have I written for?
You ever hear a Ports A, Exchange A?
I don't. Well.
No, but it gets
I said you sort of have.
Yeah. Unfortunately, my stuff gets stolen
unbeknownst to Paul. He
other writers. Well, I'm beknownst. I have to send it to him every week.
I'm beknownst.
Anyway, in John's thoughts column, he starts out, Paul Perillo says a lot of funny things that often go under the radar.
Really?
I guess so.
Can you cite a specific example?
Paul's not all that funny.
Eric has a better blog.
I had a pretty good one earlier talking about that picks contest.
You damn right you did.
Eric has a better blog ethic than anyone else, although lately Andy's been gaining.
Eric has a blog ethic. Eric has done a great job blogging.
Somebody needs to tell me what a blog ethic is first before I can get one.
The blog is awesome, and Fred's wrong. We won't get sick of it. It's like heroin, more please. I never said people would get sick of it. I said we would get in trouble the more we blog.
It hasn't happened. We haven't done one thing that
if you blog with a specific purpose, like
right.
the draft,
I was just
like
gonna
training
say that.
Camp, you tend to have less temptation. But if you're just blogging every day and you're kind of, you know, under pressure to come up with stuff, you get, you know, we don't need that.
Yeah. The only reason is for a specific purpose. I agree with
one
Fred
of the reasons Mike Reese's blog is so good is because that is the main source of information on Boston.com.
Right.
They don't have the ability
to. It's a newswire.
Right. His is a newswire.
Right.
It's really not
we
a blog.
Have a whole site with updates and live press conference. We don't need to blog on a daily basis for stuff that's already on the site anyway.
You know, for example, right after the press conference today, Mike would immediately go back and put a couple of quotes up from Bill, some of his quick hitters and stuff like that. We carry the press conference live on Patriots.com.
Audio, video, and text.
Right. There's no reason for us to go and blog on something that's already on our website.
Right. So there's a little bit of a difference.
Yeah, but Reese didn't have Felger drinking Burt Breer spit.
No, that's the kind of stuff that, you know.
That ends up getting us in trouble at some point.
No, that's all right. Felger is
fair game. No, it was Felger.
You can say anything you want about Felger.
Fred, did you notice I used one of your quotes last night in the blog?
What?
Paul, Sammy Morris was out last night. And
he wasn't out with a bruise something, was he?
Out again?
Making it look easy?
Okay.
Oh, no. But he said, the Lamont Jordan pickup already paying dividends. It's a practice. And what week
and
are we
it's
in
the first
here,
practice
July?
That Sammy Morris August. Missed.
I'm surprised you didn't use the other one. I said of Dave Thomas, I said his nickname is Miley.
Yeah. Oh.
Making it look easy. And then I said, or Mile.
Or Mile. M-I-L-E. Oh, man.
Yeah, some others I could have used, but we'd have gotten in trouble.
The show isn't the same when Andy's not there, although getting dug in about Kevin Faulk being the Brewski of the offense was not exactly tremendous.
What?
Oh, I think
that's pretty tremendous.
That was a bad. You took the wrong side of that argument.
Which argument?
No, Kevin Faulk can't play
get
anymore.
The bald guy out
I
of
didn't
way.
Say he can't play
basically
anymore.
You did.
No, I said he has deteriorating skills.
Okay.
Andy, can I just say one thing on that?
Much like our Chad Jackson argument, Paul's just on board with all my thoughts now.
You went very Fred-like in that argument. You started,
I
so
started
far in one direction, and the needle moved more toward the middle by the end
right.
of that.
He's right.
By the end of that argument, you were saying the same stuff that Fred and I were saying.
He's got you.
Wrong. Go back. Play the tapes.
Nobody.
Then he slipped the other day going through a hole on a play-action fake, and Andy turns to me and goes, see? Diminishing skills.
Nobody makes me laugh more than Gary when he's on top of the sound cues, so that's like once a year.
That's what I was thinking.
See, now,
Gary gets so upset. I love making
He gets so mad.
He really does.
Yeah, I just drink.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
Let's see. Fred Kirsch, the answer to the question, who swallowed Schilling? What? Am I like Kurt Schilling?
You do kind of look like him, but I think it's a fat joke.
I think it's a fat joke.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, I get it. I swallowed him, and now I look like him, and I'm a fat.
Where's Mini Gary to explain the joke?
I thought you were going to go something else.
I'm a fat.
Let me tell you something. In a couple weeks, I'm going on this purge thing.
Oh, dude.
A cleansing. No. I'm doing a cleansing.
Really?
Yeah, I'm doing it.
So you're loading
my
wife
cleanses these two things, and we got
Fred.
What?
You had three diets going earlier this year. What happened to all of those?
He stopped on the first day.
I'm still on it.
He's off though.
I'm just watching what I eat.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, you're watching. Yeah, you're watching a lot. Your freaking throat.
You saw I had two plates here. I barely touched either one of them. I had a taste of everything, but
one of
that
was Gary's.
It.
And it's because they weren't all that good.
No, I just had a taste.
No, it's because they weren't all that good. If they had been good, you would have sucked them down.
I'm holding off.
It wasn't, but seriously, Fred, just admit it. If it was good food, you would have eaten it, right?
Well, I might not have been able to help myself.
Right.
But it wasn't good, I've lost 5 solid pounds. That's
They were solid, as can be.
Better than gaining 5 pounds,
so,
right?
So you gained forever.
But basically, you're losing weight because the food hasn't been good.
Right.
No.
So once you get back to your regular food, when we get on the road, forget about it.
I'm telling you, by the end of this season...
What, do you have a goal in mind?
By the end of the season, you're going to see a new Fred.
What's your goal?
I'll be fine.
You'll have to take another run in about 10 minutes.
What?
You have a goal? A weight loss goal?
I do have a goal.
To see his toes.
At least 30 pounds.
It's embrace the hate in 08. Yeah. That's his goal.
By February?
Well, no, in a year.
In a year?
Yeah.
How much are you going to lose in
a year? By the end of the season, you'll see a big difference.
Okay.
How much are you going to lose in a year?
30 pounds.
A whole year it's going to take you to do that?
I don't want to rush it. It's not good when you rush it because then your body goes through such a change.
So you're going to cut your leg off next July?
You know, your metabolism's all screwed up, and then you see those people, they gain it right back on as soon as
you
they...
You are right about that.
You know? I know
people that lose a drastic amount of weight, most of them
That's
end
true.
Up putting
it's a
it
life,
back on.
It's not a diet.
It's
a
lifestyle
life change.
Change.
It's a life change.
So and you're still going to go on the road with us, eat wings, and drink beer.
No,
so.
I am not. I might have some beer, and I might have a wing. But I'm not going
to – I might have some beer, and I might have some wings, but I'm not going to eat wings and beer.
I'm not going to have a lot. If you do it in moderation, it's okay.
That is. Portion control is the biggest issue.
What do you got there, Paul? No?
Not for Eric.
Now, before we
– let me see it. I'll make
before we run out of time, Eric, today's fact of the day.
Sure.
Eric, fact of the day.
I have a tattoo.
You have a tattoo.
A tattoo.
You need to know where and what.
Well, you can see it.
Oh, you have the
it's on my arm. It's a cross.
It's a cross. It's on my left arm. And why didn't you fill it in? It's just an outline.
I didn't want to fill it in. I liked just having the outline.
I know why you didn't.
Hurt
you're waiting for the right person whose name you're going to fill it in with. Right?
No. Fred.
No?
Dan Tyson.
But you can say that when you meet a girl. You can say, you see this?
When you meet a girl.
Your name could be here. That's what you do.
On this hairy, white, skinny arm.
You give them something to look forward to, and they have to earn their place on your tricep.
Can we keep my breasts out of it?
Wait a minute. I didn't thought of that.
You know? So there you go. I just gave you a new pickup line.
All right. I'll try that.
It's a new pickup line. Can't be any worse than whatever you've been using.
You want to be here? That's what you say.
You want to
be here?
You want to get away?
I think they'll be scared, confused, and run.
Yeah.
We're not done yet with this thought column. Suggested log line for the Patriots Today segment, Extra Points, Christina Acra and Brian Lowe discuss Patriots football amidst an awkward lack of chemistry and a procession of B-Lo's increasingly hideous polo shirts. Seriously, those shirts are like the muumuu that Homer Simpson ordered when he gained weight on purpose to qualify for disability so he could work from home.
That was a great show.
Does Brian also have a dialing wand? What's a dialing wand? Is that something in Urban Dictionary I shouldn't have said? No? I don't know.
If it's an Urban Dictionary, his wand doesn't do anything.
Oh boy. TG and NJ wants to know, how's the running back position looking to you? Seems it's one area we don't have to worry about. What's your opinion?
Depth in August is not necessarily equate to depth in October.
I agree with TG, though.
That's why we're in good shape right
that's
now.
That's probably as good an area, as deep an area as the team has, really.
Now, Morris missed last night, you said?
Indeed.
So that's two practices in a row for him?
Yeah, he missed both practices yesterday.
At the opportunity practice, as you termed it.
Oh, yeah.
But is that an indication that maybe there's
something wrong with him?
Or maybe he's getting that veteran entire day off? Maybe
I don't think that's the case. I would assume he's dealing with something either minor or major in nature. I have no idea, but.
Let's hope it's not major.
I'm hoping, but
the running back situation, I think, is pretty good, though.
Yes, I agree.
Now that, like, you know,
good
Bill
diversity
always says,
of skills.
Bill always says, you know, you lose a guy or two, and you know the landscape changes in a hurry. But if healthy, I think you have, you know, four pretty good options there that do a lot of different things.
It's a good cut into my projection for 1,400 yards for Lawrence Maroney.
I was thinking that,
too. Because I'm guessing Jordan and Morris are going to get some touches.
And I think that given their druthers, that they would rather spread those carries around the way they were at the beginning of the year.
Given their druthers and Lawrence Maroney's, you know, issues.
Durability problem.
Michael in Texas has a suggestion. Fred, please add a link to the PFW blog on your mobile site, as you already have for the regular site. Thanks from a fellow iPhone user. Okay, I'll look into that. I know WordPress just came out with an app that you can download on iPhone.
For Mobi?
And we use WordPress, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, but otherwise, I think you can just bookmark the blog address and get right to it. But I'll look into that. That's a good.
You had another thing.
I was thinking about that last night. I was in the app store of the iPhone, and I saw WordPress had a new app. I thought, we should probably have the blog on the mobile site.
Can you also look into the ads or lack thereof in our web updates?
The ads or lack thereof in the web updates.
We were talking about the ads that bump into the update. Well, now it's just a blank white box that bumps into the update.
You know who to talk to about that.
Yeah, but we're looking to get something done.
Oh.
Not the monkey who's calculating Matthew Slater's return yards already.
Let's see. Steve writes in.
Monkey.
Steve in Edmonton. First off, I want to clarify the notion left by previous emails that I have a problem with the show. I don't know who you are. trust me, if I didn't find the show entertaining, I wouldn't listen, and I have listened to every single podcast for the last year or so. I like all the people involved on and off the air except for Flanders. It appears that there are nine. Okay, so now we get into football. It appears there are nine open spots on the active roster from the end of last year. This is ignoring the possibility that any active players get replaced before the Kansas City opener. Some of the players that I think are likely to fill those nine spots are Tank Williams, Gerard Mayo, Victor Hobson, Sean Crable, Sam Aiken, Terrence Wheatley, and Matthew Slater. Do you agree? And who are the other two? Keep in mind, this does not include PUP, IR, or PR. That's hard to do without something in front of you.
Paul
would be.
What are the nine? I don't understand. What are the nine?
He's saying everyone from last year that was on the team stays.
That's his assumption.
Yeah.
Okay, so then there are nine extra spaces?
That right off the go, and I understand that it's an inexact science, what he's trying to do, but there's no way that every guy that was on the team at the end of last year will return. Mm-hmm. That's not going to happen. Nine guys that are locks?
New guys.
Nine new guys that are locks. Fernando Bryant.
Yeah.
Gerard Mayo.
Yep. Terrence Wheatley.
Terrence Wheatley.
Slater. You don't think he's a lock.
I mean, in terms of a lock.
I guess he can't. I'm excited about him,
play a couple
can't
of games.
Say he's
I think he'll make it, but I certainly wouldn't put him in the lock.
He could really stink it up.
Tank Williams. Yeah, I'd say
Kevin
Tank Williams.
Well, Kevin
now, is he including lists or not lists?
No, he's not including lists.
He's not including lists. Okay.
So that's four.
I think Lamont Jordan's a lock.
Lamont Jordan is a lock. It's five.
Ooh, boy.
I don't know. It's tough.
It is tough.
Well, we'll get into that. When are you going to do your...
I think I do it in 2 weeks.
Oh, somebody's at the door.
Hey, guys. It's Cali Girl.
How you doing?
Now it's time for Andy Hart's Urban Dictionary Word of the Day. That's Word of the Day.
This one, I think, is appropriate based on the person who let us in here, Cali. I don't have a pronunciation key here, and I think I might need it, but it's...
I'll help you out, Andy.
Tattoobies. That's tattoobies. And it's pretty self-explanatory. Mm-hmm. Tattoo on the boobies. You just kind of combine them
you couldn't just leave it at the self-explanation.
We're not allowed to say boobies?
No, but
and
I mean, tattoo? You can.
Tattoo and boobies.
You
that's because Minnie Gary's in the background explaining it.
And then the,
that's true.
The definition is that can be seen with a shirt on.
Okay.
Which is really not attractive on the boobies.
No, and it's like Janice and The Sopranos with the little Rolling Stones. That's just gross.
Hey, I got a question. Yeah. Did I mention on this show that my wife is opening a Pilates studio?
Yes. You did on the show?
Yeah.
I'm
does
not
that
sure if
violate
you did on
the payola, plugola?
No, because my
I
wife was
did.
Talking
agreement.
To somebody who says, oh, I heard you opening Pilates. She goes, yeah. How did you find out? She goes, well, my brother listens to the radio show in Canada with his 9-year-old daughter. And I'm like, uh-oh.
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 Sorry.
That was uh-oh tattoobies. On a lot of different levels.
Right, right. So I said, okay, the first part was good. That second part, not so
good. A 9-year-old daughter.
Anyway.
Ooh, that's probably not our demographic.
It's amazing. We have more listeners than we really understand.
Especially now.
Yeah. Because once somebody downloads us to their device, they can go anywhere. I mean, they could share it with a friend or so. You know, there's a lot of...
We are viral.
We're viral.
that's a good word for it.
That's for sure. Let's see. Kamani, who was Eric's biggest
boyfriend.
Fan supporter.
Is this a boy or a girl?
Relation.
It's a guy.
It's a guy. He's made it clear that he's a guy.
Who also claims to have a
He wants us to do away with...
So did you for a while.
Said it on the show.
He wants us to do away with the Eric fact of the day. He's spoon-feeding the audience these facts about himself, like, oh, I like to ski and I can play the flute. Who cares?
He skis in a pickup truck.
Eric, you're not being real with the audience. Get to the nitty-gritty. Like, when did you lose your virginity and what were the circumstances?
Or if.
Questions like that. Fred and the other guys have answered that question. That's why they are on the show. They open up about themselves. That's why Fred is banishing you to the other show I've never heard of. There you can bore people with your spoon-fed facts and stories about your comic career.
Speaking of Barack Obama.
At what size can I get the oil reproduction of the cat? My budget is $600.
The oil reproduction of the cat.
They're called G. Clays, by the way.
Oh, man.
G. Gays.
Yeah, no kidding.
What is the cat? I haven't seen the cat.
It's on my website.
He gets all snippy.
He does.
No, because you have these. It obviously isn't one of your better ones because you have all the other ones hung up in your queue.
You've never seen a real. No, it's actually,
Gary,
it's actually
I think
one
Gary
of the better
had
ones.
It. Gary's done.
What's that?
It is actually one of the better ones.
So he wants a reproduction. How much you sell it for him? Right now, give him a price.
What is a reproduction? $600 to work with?
I was going to say, he's got $600 to work with. That's
the
price.
He could probably get a G. Clay for that amount.
G. Clay. Can he get a picture of the damn cat or not?
Yes.
Okay.
What does G. Clay mean?
What's
the
definition? G. Clay is it's a reproduction on canvas. Like if you get a print, you know, prints normally come on paper.
Yeah, lithograph.
They found a way to recreate paintings on canvas that aren't the original, and it's called a G. Clay. They basically put paint in this air machine, and they sort of...
So it's a fake painting.
Yeah, but it looks
like it's an ersatz painting.
Ersatz. Very, very nice use of the term.
It's actually very good. I've got a picture from Eric's website of Kitty, as it is called, 25 by 30, oil on canvas.
Yep.
It's really excellent.
Let me see.
Thank you.
But why would you want to picture somebody else's cat? That's what I want to know.
I thought it's Kamani. What can you say?
But it is very nice.
I never thought you got this close to a...
it was better the first time.
But it's funny, I like to beat him home.
What makes you think I was interested in this?
Oh, sorry. Oh, wow.
Paul won't even look at it.
Are we still over on the sales?
You might have given him a plate of lima beans. Okay, he's not even going to touch that.
Wow.
I've never even been on the website. I'm the only one that can say that.
Are we still over on the sales? Can we get a sales update?
Yeah, you got your sales update right now.
Now, you're going to be doing that raffle again for the church, that thing that was rigged and I never had a chance to win?
It was not rigged.
You had a good chance.
Wow. In the studio is Mark Capella from WBCN. Now, Mark is the producer of the WBCN show. He's not the producer of the pre- and post-game show, so hold your criticism for
he's
somebody
also,
else.
We should
he's
say,
the producer of Screaming in the Background.
I was going to say, you've all heard him if you've ever heard
every,
a game
of the Patriots touchdown. The guy in the back of here screaming is Mark.
Turn the headphones on, numbnut. I thought you were in radio. Jesus Christ.
He's also, fans should know, the guy from whom Paul and I get the... That's where we get that.
Mark, how you doing?
That's irrelevant.
Pleasure to be here, guys.
Be here.
So what brings you to the studio? You have an announcement to make?
There he is.
Good call, Jokaroo.
Love it. No, I'm here for Brady. I mean, of course everybody's here.
I thought you were here for a T-shirt.
I was here for where is my T-shirt?
Up there in Fred's office.
Right after the show. You come up and we'll give you one.
You got an extra large?
5 minutes.
Oh, yeah. We got extra large.
We might even have one for your wife as long as you take care of us
later. Are you smoking again?
No, I am not.
Oh.
I was with Dennis outside.
I was going to say, you're with someone who's smoking. I can smell it on you.
Dennis Knutson's out there. Our engineer for the game, Zach.
That's really going to get on you.
That's one of the great all-time PFW travel stories is when Bill Walsh caught you guys smoking.
I tell that story to everybody. That is a great story. I don't know if anybody heard it. You probably, I don't know if you said it.
We've told the story on this show, but since you were actually the one involved,
back in my smoking days with Dennis, and all four of us were smoking. So we were waiting to get on the bus. This was the Hall of Fame game in Canton in 99.
both teams' buses are parked together.
2000. It was Bill's first year, so it was 2000.
Playing the 49ers.
We're playing the 49ers, and we're waiting to get on the bus, and so we're like fiends. We're trying to get our cigarettes in before the, you know, before we get on the bus.
Then that's when they smoke it.
Yeah. And so we're outside having a smoke, and all of a sudden, Bill Walsh is coming over. And I go, this is Bill Walsh coming, Bill Walsh coming. Dennis goes, oh, no, no, no. And he comes over, and he goes, don't you read the signs? I go, what are you talking about? He goes, there's no bleeping smoking here at the stadium. And all four of us at the same time dropped our cigarettes. Literally, at the, I mean, honestly, exact same.
Bill Walsh told them to put their cigarettes out. They put the cigarettes out.
Hey, Bill Walsh, you know, that guy's a legend. So we dropped, we literally all, we dropped him, we put him up with our foot. And then he goes, walks to the bus, and he goes up to the bus, and everybody starts laughing on the bus. And I said to Dennis, I said, wait, we've been had. So he comes back in, and he goes, I told you about the cigarettes. And then he, like, totally went completely, and he stuck out hand, and he says, nice to meet you guys. And we all started laughing. It was a great story.
But what happened was he got on the wrong bus.
Yeah.
And, you know, we number our buses 1 through 4, and bus 4 is where all the lowlifes like us sit. So Bill Walsh walks on our bus all of a sudden. We don't know what just happened outside.
Right. This is the part that you guys didn't catch.
Yeah.
No, that's right. No, but I saw Brian Morey through the window laughing,
right,
and I knew
so
something was going on.
All of a sudden, Bill Walsh walks on our bus, and he's looking around, and he's kind of
what bus,
you know, puzzled.
Is this?
He goes, what bus is this? And somebody yells out, bus 4! You know, like he's supposed to know what bus 4 is.
Right.
He meant, is it the 49?
Right.
Bus 4! And he goes, I just told 4 of you guys to stop smoking. Turns around and leaves.
He goes, oh, jeez, I thought it was a Niners bus. I just told 4 of you guys to stop smoking.
It was great. It was my Bill Walsh moment. It was great. It was nice to meet him, though. It was great.
Yeah.
Nice to meet him.
Nice to meet him under the circumstances. But. So. Pleasure to be here. What are you guys talking about?
Training camp, you know, Patriots,
all kinds of stuff.
It's all positive all the time here.
Yeah.
It is.
Where's the food I keep hearing about? There's all sorts of food.
We just
no food?
Ate.
Oh, you already ate? Okay.
Yeah.
I ate upstairs. It was actually pretty good. Chicken was good today.
I didn't get the chicken. I had the 7 versions of pasta they had available.
Pasta and rice today.
Yeah, and
the chicken for the 14th day in a row.
Dessert, though, was good, Andy?
Oh, yeah. That,
so, Mark,
whatever it was.
Mark, while you're here, how long have you been working on the Patriots broadcast?
14 years.
14 years.
Yeah, 14. There's only 3 of us from the original broadcast, Gil, Gino, and myself. And Dennis came actually the year after, so he's been 13. But 14 years, 17 overall at BCN. And it feels like I've been there a lifetime. But it's been great. It's been a hell of a ride. I mean,
yeah,
it's been fun. I've had a lot of fun. It's been great.
Thanks, babe.
I met a lot of people. And
what did you do before BCN?
Before BCN, I was
school.
In college.
That was your first job?
That was my first gig.
Oh, wow.
I have never left. I've been there since day one.
You're now dabbling in the hardware business, right?
Yeah, dabbling
now,
in the hardware
now,
business.
Now, unlike
you're good at
unlike us lowlives, when we go out, we go on the road, we go to some place and have beer and wings, you
right.
get
oh,
to
wild
go
wings.
Where Gil and Gino chooses.
Right.
You guys go to the fine restaurants.
We go to fine
city.
Restaurants that they determine, and that they usually go to the same restaurants every, but they go to really nice places, which is great. And my luck, they asked me to come along 1 year, and I've gone ever since.
And,
but
and you get a pretty good per diem, so it's not.
We get a great per diem, so it's basically for nothing, but great places.
So now, what's it like eating a dinner with Gil and Gino? Do they
laughs.
Announce? They announce
here comes the entree.
Total laughs. Well, the thing about Gil, the thing about Gil is that he is so
forks to the left, knife to the right.
Gil is so routine. He literally has the same routine. He gets he has the same routine. He sits down. He gets the same drink. He get if it's the same thing on the menu, he'll eat
order,
it every
complain,
week.
Order, complain, order, complain.
No. Actually, every time he comes back, Gil, how was dinner?
It was great.
It was fabulous.
He always loves the meal, but I can imagine he hates the service no matter what it is.
Yeah. No, there's sometimes the service is you know, he complains. But Gino never complains.
Yeah.
No, Gino.
Gino.
Salt of the earth.
Yeah,
Gino.
Gino.
Hello.
Yeah, Gino never complains. But Gino always gets something different. He usually gets the salmon, but if Gil sees like that same chicken, whatever he gets, he'll get it every time.
Really?
Yeah, he's like, I mean,
he doesn't stray.
No, he doesn't never stray.
Sounds
he's
like
Paul. I was going to say,
well,
I don't like to hear that.
I can't stray. I don't really stray much either. If we go to a steak place, I get a filet. That's what
absolutely.
I get.
Absolutely. That's
so,
what I
at a steak place, filet is the way to go.
You never had a ribeye?
No, I don't do ribeyes.
Ribeyes are good. But what's the place?
I like the filet.
What's the place that you guys, the service was terrible and they forgot about you and they gave you the free appetizers? And
and Gil goes, what's most expensive?
The two seafood platters or
Oh, you're talking about the Super Bowl week?
Was it?
Yeah,
I don't know. That was the one in. They all blend together.
That was the one in Jacksonville where we went to the restaurant, which was right down the street from the Patriots Hotel, and this was on a Tuesday before the Super Bowl. So you would think that the restaurant, knowing that everybody's coming in.
So how long are we going here?
You would think that they'd be stocked up. Well, there was a steak place. So everybody.
They ran out of steak.
They ran out of steak. I mean, how do you run out of steak? So we said, I'll get the filet. The guy says, we're out of filet. So then we said, all right, we'll get the ribeye. The guy says, we're out of ribeye. I said, what about the New York strip? The New York strip. The guy says, no. So Gil looks at the guy and he says,
"Why don't you tell
us? Can you please tell me what you got?
Right,
so then I can make my decision."
I ask what you have.
They had no steak at a steak place 3 days or 4 days before the Super Bowl. And
no way, Jose!
Gary's good with that in there.
All right, he's pretty good. Well, you got a job for him?
Yeah,
that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Good for Mark Appella to stop by and meet him, and maybe we'll meet other people involved with the Patriots.
Hey, maybe they'll invite me back. Actually,
yeah, you
maybe.
Never know.
Bring
and
shirts.
All right,
invitation's always there.
We will see you Thursday before the first preseason game of the season. See you then.